This week, subjectively the hardest game in history, Takeshi's Challenge has come to iOS and Android in Japan for fans to relive Takeshi Kitano's masterwork of the 8-bit era. This is just one highlight of the week's gaming news. Join us for plenty more starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week at the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio. Live tonight, episode number 697 for this, August the 20th of 2017. My name is Rob Roberts. You might know me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E. Joining me by my side, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
I want a beer.
You want a beer?
Right now.
I don't have beer.
Actually,
I have wine.
Because that song... I wish you were a beer was stuck in my head.
What song is that?
It came out in the 90s. It's called I Wish You Were a Beer.
There were a lot of great songs that came out in the 90s, though. So, wait, I Wish You Were a Beer? Who sang it?
Hold on. I'm going to find out. I forgot who did it.
Somebody in our chat room will know, I promise you, over at live.vognetwork.com, because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com.
Cycle Sluts from Hell.
Of course, a band that's up your alley. Were you calling...
1991.
Wait, was that the name of the band or was that you calling our chat
room? That was the name of the band.
Okay. All right.
Cycle Sluts from Hell. I wish you were a beer.
All right. Fantastic. Well, if you want a beer, come join our chat room and wish for one because I don't have any. Live.vognetwork.com. 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern every week at the Voice Geeks Network right after the Bobby Blackwolf
That's
show.
It's going to be a fortune cookie one day.
It should be. It's a good message. I like that.
Yep.
Say hello as well, too. I don't know if he has a beer, but it's Techmaster Loki.
No, I don't.
No, you have like a 7-Up or a Sprite over there, right? Or what is that?
It's a Pepsi.
It's a Pepsi.
It was a Pepsi.
It was a Pepsi. It's since been devoured. Now it is nothing. Gone forever. How are you doing?
I'm full, except, I went to Roundtable again, despite them fighting me.
Pizza place on the West Coast.
Yes, pizza place. Sorry. Yeah. Pizza place. So I got more breadsticks because they were doing a rewards program type thing that they're phasing out Friday. Oh. And I had like enough points for like free breadsticks and stuff. So I was like, I got to use use it or lose it. So,
yep.
Even though I got breadsticks last week and I was going to go to El Pollo Loco this week, I was like, okay, I got to get breadsticks again. Use those points, and then next week I'll go Pollo Loco.
Another West Coast chain, and they I shouldn't give away where I live totally, but I guess, there's a brand new one nearby, we'll say that, nearish. And Loki, it's I think not out of the way for you really on your drive over here. So you are thinking about going there on the regular, right? Because that's
possibly.
It's pretty good.
I don't know.
As far as fast food goes, it's pretty good.
The other one that I haven't been going to really is Jim Boy's Tacos, which I actually went there the other day, and I'm like, man, I forgot how good this is.
These are all like local places, and our people back east are like, what the hell is he talking about?
Whatever. Hey, it's a taco stand. It's American style tacos.
It's good. They top them with like Parmesan cheese.
Yeah, they put
good.
Parmesan cheese on them, which is like you wouldn't think that
you wouldn't
would
think
make
it's
sense.
Good, but it's good.
But it's really good. And so I found that there's one on the way as well because all the other ones I knew about were like in the opposite direction. So.
All right. Yeah. Stop talking about food. You're making us all hungry. We're here to talk about video games, gaming culture, the gamer lifestyle, and all that good stuff. Let's get into some video game chat, actually, here at the top of the show. Let's talk a little bit about Gamescom, because Gamescom is about to kick off. It's about to get underway. When do they do their show? Is it like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday thing, like E3?
I don't remember.
Well, okay, yeah, I know.
I thought it was during the week.
I kind of got blindsided. I thought it was the weekend. And then I heard that Microsoft was doing their like pre-Gamescom announcement thing today. And I was like, on a Sunday?
Yeah,
I was
like, Nintendo's got a presentation the other year. It sounds like a repeat of the Treehouse stuff.
Oh.
But they're doing something next couple days, I think Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, so Gamescom's Wednesday. In the middle of the week, like E3.
I think it's like Monday through Thursday or something like that.
I don't know why I didn't think of that. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says it's all week. The beginning is industry only and later is open to the public. Okay, that makes more sense.
As they should do... With like E3.
You think E3 should just copy that model?
They should. It's been
working. They're getting there.
No, I'm serious. Like they tried it this year where they just opened it up and it was a big old mess. They should. I mean, it's worked for Gamescom for how long now that this format? Why don't they just copy it? Do what Apple and like the other companies do. When they see something that works, they copy it and they make it better. So like, yes. Don't make it worse. Yes. That's not what you want to do. Yes. So
they put their own spin on it.
Exactly.
Kaijudo in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, too many cons, man. Not to be on a tangent, but I'm gonna, because this is OLR. But have you guys know, is it just me, or does it seem like within the past 5 years or so, there are more conventions in general? And I don't just mean like gaming conventions on a national scale. I mean like local stuff.
Maybe we're just paying attention to it more.
Are we? It just seems like every week. Maybe it's that Facebook, Twitter, social media age we live in where I'm aware of more of it now.
Well, was it? My coworker was asking me if I was going to the Sacramento Con.
Sac Anime.
Because I guess they have the voice actors from Overwatch there.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I do know like all the Power Rangers are going to be there. So Shane was going to go, but he had a thing. He's not going now. So at least I don't think he is. So. But yeah, that I know is something that was
like, I haven't been there since what, the last time we broadcast there, like at 7 or 8 in the morning or something like that.
That wasn't even the full SAC Anime. I don't think that was like a day con or something.
Or even before that, when they used to do it like in Sunrise Mall, like they would actually have like,
I do remember that
the McDonald's that wasn't there anymore. They would literally put a curtain in front of the windows and they would project stuff. That was one of the screening rooms.
Yeah.
It was an old ass McDonald's that wasn't open anymore.
Yeah. So I don't. It just seems like there's so much more stuff here locally anyway. But anyhow, okay. So what I really wanted to talk about with GamesCon was I wanted to talk about the Microsoft event that they did earlier today. So they kind of announced a few things, sort of. I mean, like, you know, they didn't drop anything like big. There was no like big bombshells, but there was a few things that they put out there. Namely, of course, they are trying to push the Xbox One X, and so some of the big things they talked about. More games getting 4K updates. That seemed to be a really big message, mm-hmm. that the old library is getting updated. And I definitely sense this kind of emphasis, if you will, on like old is new again between these 4K updates and really pushing backwards back compatibility and that whole thing.
I thought you said it was out of style. Well, now it's retro.
Exactly. What's old? Yeah.
Like they were showing
Crimson Skies is fashionable again.
They were showing something. I think it may have been ReCore or something like that, and maybe talking about 4K updates for that.
Yeah, ReCore was one of them.
But it just didn't look that great. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, ReCore is probably a great game, but like the footage that they were showing, I'm like, I can't see how putting this in 4K is going to make this look any better.
Well, it pales next to Forza, but Forza,
right,
was,
exactly.
Well, Forza was designed to be a 4K game. ReCore was not. They're going back and updating ReCore. But, I mean, it's not just that. It's Quantum Break was obviously the one I picked up that, you know, that's a huge deal. They said they were going back and doing family-friendly titles as well, that they really wanted to emphasize that part of their library.
Yeah, I did notice one of the things that they were talking about, and this was actually a re-release. Like, I think they're actually going to sell them again. Is on the Xbox One X or Xbox One, they're going to be selling the Disney Adventure game, which, remember, Kinect Adventures, remember that shit? So Disney Adventures was kind of a sequel spinoff of that where you'd use the Kinect to do Disney-themed games, but
right.
Kind of along the same lines. And then they also had a Pixar one that was kind of similar. And then they had the Zoo Tycoon game that was also a Kinect game. I don't know if that one also had controller support originally, but now they're going back and they're adding controller support to these, and they're also supporting 4K. Although, honestly, I think these games came out like during the 360 era. I mean, I can't imagine that it's going to be really worth it. Like, I'm not like, oh shit, I really passed on Disney Adventures before, but now that it's 4K, fuck yeah, let me get in on that.
Well, maybe they're just trying to really cater to people who did like completely miss these games the first time around. I mean, I can understand why they're trying to take a family-friendly approach. It's something that I think Sony's a little weaker on.
Oh yeah.
But Nintendo is very strong in that department, so I don't know where Microsoft's trying to land in that whole picture, but, you know, it'll be interesting. I don't know. What do you kind of think? I open this up to everybody really here in studio. What do you guys think about, like, Microsoft and their position right now, just in general? Like, what are your feelings when it comes to Xbox?
They have a big problem where they're competing with themselves. And, like, the big problem is that they have Windows 10. And they put out their games on Windows 10. I have a Windows 10 PC. And all these things that they keep pushing out and like saying, oh, yeah, here's why you need to get an Xbox One X. it doesn't sell it for me because it's like I see this game like, oh yeah, Player Unknown's Battlegrounds is going to be coming to Xbox One. I'm like, but I have a PC. It's already on PC. I don't need to buy an Xbox for that. Or, you know, hey, you're going to play Crackdown 3, which will also be on PC. And
Next year.
But that's fine, you know, next year. But all these games that they're showing, I can also get on my PC. And so there's not really anything driving me to, I need to buy it. And even with the Xbox One X, I don't have a 4K TV. There's nothing really pushing me. There's nothing saying that I need to get this for this reason. Like, 4K is going to be awesome, but I'm just going to wait because aside from gaming content, in which there really isn't a whole ton of it right now, there's not a lot that can be displayed in 4K right now. The content hasn't caught up to that.
A couple things with that. First off, we should kind of quickly address that Crackdown delay because that was big news that came up this week that I wanted to address at the top of the show. But if you hadn't heard, Crackdown 3 did get officially delayed until next year. They're not going to make the holiday. But I think when it comes to game delays at this point, I think I kind of get like a shift in the gaming public at large on Twitter is I think people have come to accept that a game delay isn't always necessarily bad news. And I think a lot of people, at least I know I am with this Crackdown news, I'm like, okay, well, if it needs it, delay it. Because there's just been, you know, and we'll get into this later in the show, but there's obviously one big game, y'all know what I'm talking about, that we got some news on this week we'll get into later, that really should have been delayed again that wasn't, you know, and now it's paying the price for not being, it's paying way too big of a price for not being delayed again. So there's a part of me that's like, if you need to delay games, just do it. But it does put Microsoft in that awkward position of, well, shit, there went one of our largest holiday things that we're pushing. So now it's like the message that I'm seeing out of Gamescom is, well, we have Forza, and then look at this vast library of shit you never played before that we're going to make all new again. So we got this whole big library you haven't explored, so come on over. But that was one thing I wanted to say with that. The second thing I wanted to say with that is, if you go over to Windows 10 for your gaming, is that really a loss for Microsoft? I'm not so sure it is.
It's not, but
it's
like,
going to hurt Xbox maybe, but Microsoft doesn't exactly lose.
No, they don't lose from that, but you know, it's just, I don't know, it's not going to get me to buy their console, I guess. But then they don't really need for me to buy a console because I have Windows, I guess. But I don't know. I didn't buy Windows, it just came on my machine.
Dungeon Buster in chat says, Microsoft will keep going, they won't give up, and will try a lot of things to generate interest and draw crowds, like the decision to publish PUBG for the Xbox One. Kaijudo in chat says, Crackdown is going to be the new Duke Nukem. The game won't come out till it's a 20-year internet joke.
No.
I don't think that's the case.
It hasn't been in development that long.
Not that long. I mean, it was announced some time ago, but I think what's happening here is that clearly a decision was made to shift Crackdown into a 4K game. Like, Crackdown was not going to be what it is now, and that is a big boost for the Xbox One X. I think Crackdown's kind of, like, visibility got shifted. It's kind of, okay, let's talk about games that should have been delayed for a minute. It's kind of what happened with No Man's Sky and PlayStation 4. Right?
That was rushed out, yeah.
Right? And that now I think we're all at a point where it's like, wow, No Man's Sky probably would have benefited if it delayed.
Yeah, if it released with what it has now, it would have been right. A very successful game.
So now with Crackdown, I think maybe Microsoft's taking that approach that, you know what, maybe we should just go ahead and delay it so we don't have a No Man's Sky thing on our hands. But I think it's one of those cases where it's like Crackdown was supposed to be this big bolster for the Xbox One X, and so they've kind of put more into it than was probably there before, including, you know, now the big name talent that we have attached to this game and everything, you know, that probably all wasn't there when the game was first in development. So I think what's happening with Crackdown is a little bit different. But again, if it had to be delayed for that reason, fine. You know, again, there's other games where it's very clear the development happened in the last year, where maybe they should have delayed it another year. Final Fantasy 15, actually. Now that, you know, gosh, not even one that's in the news this week, but I'm thinking of all these games now. No Man's Sky should have been delayed.
Final Fantasy 15. Just Cause 3, another one that like came out and it was just broken. Still kind of broken now. I mean, there's a lot of games that get put out that are just buggy or just not ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, like, are we past the moratorium on spoilers of Final Fantasy 15 yet? I won't.
I haven't played it.
I won't. Let me just say, but I will start to talk a little more. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I just will say the end section of the game, for those that have been it there, past the infamous Chapter 13. This would be Chapter 14 or 15. I can't remember my mind. But it was really odd to me that that whole section of the game was not expanded on in a major way. And I feel like if Final Fantasy 15 had been delayed, it would have been. So it's just, again, I don't...
Is it going to be with any of the expansions that are coming out?
No, now the expansions are all like these weird side game things. Like Prompto is like a completely different type of game, practically. It's like another thing that exists in the 15 universe. They have the multiplayer thing coming to 15, but I totally missed the boat on the beta test because that all happened when I was...
It's just like, it's so disappointing though. Like, remember when they were showing off the VR, like kind of teasing the VR support for 15? And then now it's a fishing game? It's like, come on.
SSG100Matt says, was Final Fantasy 14 original release a product of rushing to get it out? Or just bad that required a total remodel from scratch? Yeah, the original Final Fantasy 14 was just, it was rushed bad. It was really, and they paid the price for it. But when they went back and did it, they put together a really great game in a really short amount of time, all things considered. So, I mean, it's Final Fantasy 14 is a very interesting, like, I don't think there'll ever be another video game like it. It's very interesting. But anyway, we got a little off track with the Gamescom stuff. I didn't really check in with you, Jamie. I know your household doesn't have Xbox One right now. I mean, where's your guys' head at with Microsoft? Is it just one of those... We don't care because everything we need is Sony or Nintendo right now? Or
kind of.
Where's your... Yeah.
That and, you know, Microsoft is all bark, 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 bark. I'm like, okay, good.
So you feel like with Microsoft, you don't get a lot of... Like, I guess there's not a lot of meaning behind the words? I'm just trying to interpret what you're saying.
Nothing really that I care about yet.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, especially nowadays when you're purchasing... When you have multiple game systems, it's all about what console exclusives they have and... What console exclusives do they have? Because not a lot's coming out anymore. It's like Forza 7. I'm not into sim driving games, so...
Bummer it's not Horizon.
You know, Horizon 3, that was one of the ones that was getting yep. 4K updates, yep. So that's cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've got a PC that can run Forza Horizon 3 now really nice, and so I just don't need it.
I think I'm in a really similar place when it comes to... And I mentioned this after E3. The way I felt about Microsoft after E3 was, wow, I'm really sold on 4K gaming for my PC.
And also, well, on top of that, here's the other reason why. I'm even with their Microsoft games, I'm not entirely gung-ho to jump into that. Because if I want to play Forza Horizon 3 multiplayer, I got to pay $60 extra a year.
Oh, so Xbox Live is
yeah,
a
Xbox
problem.
Live, and that's another subscription that like I don't get enough use out of.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of I was gonna say isn't that an industry standard like Sony and soon Nintendo?
Yeah, on consoles, but I own PC. A PC, okay. So fuck that noise.
Oh, do you ever? Are you? Maybe I shouldn't even say this out loud. Everybody's gonna say, shut up, Rob, shut up. Are you ever worried that Microsoft may take some of those games and paywall-gate them on Xbox Gold because Windows 10, they would have the technology to do that if they wanted to?
What do you mean paywall-gate them?
Meaning you would have to have Xbox Gold to play those games online, even on PC.
I think you do on Xbox
One. Do you really?
So when you buy it through the storefront, I think you have to have Gold to play multiplayer.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure you do.
You're right. You probably do. I don't know. I need somebody in the chat to confirm that because I don't know. I can't think...
Xbox Live on PC is free. Okay, well, sweet. Then
who said that? Wow, Kaijudo. Wow.
Okay, well, then I guess that solves that problem.
Interesting. All right. Well, maybe can you do the cross-play without Xbox Gold? I wonder if Microsoft...
But see, that kind of...
Maybe that's what Microsoft needs to do. Like, if they really want to turn some heads, end Xbox Live Gold. Or keep it as a... Yeah, I know. Bingo. Here's what you do. Got it. I know the answer. You ready, everybody? You ready? Xbox Gold, you no longer need it for multiplayer. Xbox Gold instead is their new Netflix games thing. Done. Right? That would turn so many heads if they did that.
It would be nice. I mean, I don't understand why... Aside from numbers, because obviously people playing on the Windows 10 store are probably a lot less than, you know, on Xbox Live, on console. But where do they get off thinking that they can charge you know, for online play on consoles, where PC you don't. I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of stupid. And it's lucky for them that Forza is, you know, a great game, and like Crackdown's probably going to be a great game, but you know, anything else that's multiplayer out there, you know, I could get on PC, like Call of Duty or something like that. I don't want to play, you know, Steam money to play online. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that would be my advice for Microsoft. And granted, I realize this could be a huge financial thing or whatever, but like, just end Xbox Gold and change it into, for people that already have it, give them the Netflix thing instead. Like, because I have Xbox Gold through February, but if they were to say, you know what, we're going to require it for multiplayer, but for those of you that already bought it, you're going to get the Game Pass for the time that you had Xbox Gold or whatever, I would be perfectly satisfied. I would not be upset.
It'd be great, you know, compared to, I mean, they're not going to do that, but
I don't think they will either, but I think heads like Microsoft, if Microsoft wants to get fucking noticed right now in this contest with Sony and Nintendo and all this stuff, that would do it. Like, to just shatter the industry expectation right now, which is, oh, if you're on console, you're going to pay money to play online, because now even Nintendo's going to be doing that next year.
If
Microsoft were to shatter that, it would turn heads.
Like, I just think it's so ridiculous to say, you know, oh, well, you know, cost money to run service. Yeah, I get it. It costs money to run service. But why on PC, you know, and we're talking like the most popular games here, why on PC, like PlayerUnknown's Battleground or something like that, why aren't they charging for online there? They have to run servers too. Why is it so hard for the console manufacturers and console makers and console publishers out there to run online servers? Which, let's be honest, a lot of them kind of suck. And on top of that, they're charging you for a season pass for all this unnecessary DLC. And then on top of that, they're, you know, double dipping with, you know, microtransactions in games and loot boxes and all that nonsense. Why do they think that they can get away with that? Well, I know why they think that they can get away with that, because you've been paying it all this time, and this is kind of something you're used to now. Well, stop being used to that. Start complaining about it. Don't play games on consoles.
And Bobby brings up a point in chat here that says, I assume the system administrators who run Xbox Live servers demand that they be paid for their time as well, so they do need money to run their servers. Sure, running servers isn't free, but couldn't that money come from another place? Like Loki is saying, these expansions that come on for games and so forth, the money that they sell when they make the system, you know, other parts of the ecosystem.
Here's my argument.
Nintendo's been doing it up until now.
I get it. Once again, you know, they need money for their servers. Sony just recently started demanding money for a multiplayer. It wasn't a problem on the PlayStation 3. Why is it a problem now? And if you're going to say, oh, well, more people are playing, well, you're selling more copies, you're bringing in more money. So what is the problem again?
I would just point to, on PC, it's not a problem.
It's not a problem on PC. Yes, I get it. It's less people playing, but, you know, it's all scalable.
These servers all end up shutting down after a year anyway, because they don't want to pay the people to maintain them anymore. EA, case in point.
Because a lot of it, like, a lot of this stuff is even, like, virtual servers now, and they can scale it so that it's more cost-efficient than it probably was, you know, years ago. And, like, I just don't understand. It's an excuse, is what it is. It's an excuse to charge more money because people are like, well, I guess that makes sense because the publisher's telling me that they need more money to run for, you know, to run those servers, and I guess that makes sense to myself, so I'm going to pay them money, and that's it. And you're used to it now, and they're going to throw you a few free games of old shit that you might not play. Well,
another reason why I bring this up, and I, like, you know, I really truly feel like I'm not talking crazy when I seriously suggest this as something that Microsoft could do, is because I thought part of the reason Microsoft started offering free games and started doing that whole thing was there was rumors years ago when they first started doing that Microsoft was looking to change Xbox Live, and that possibly at that point they were going to sunset and no longer require online multiplayer. So I don't think it's an unheard of type of thing. But anyway, I'm just throwing it out there. You know, if they continue to charge, they continue to charge. But we'll see. All right. Anyway, we do want to move on, start to get into how was your gaming week. Did I hit everything with Gamescom?
It was boring. They did announce that the Xbox One X is on pre-order. That was the big, ooh, bombshell drop. You know,
well, like, they're gone. The Project Scorpio thing.
I didn't care. I was like, whatever. The Minecraft console looked kind of cool. They had like a Minecraft console for the Xbox One S. That was kind of neat. All that made me think is like, man, if I ever build my son a PC, that's how I'm going to paint it. But I'm not going to buy that console.
Oh, I know one big thing I need to mention. Jurassic World Evolution. They did show off a trailer for a new game. And, you know, it had the big, grand, sweeping footages. And then dinosaurs are there. And do-do-do-do-do-do. You know, what we all come to expect from Jurassic Park, right? I was into it. I liked it.
Like, I'll check Jurassic it out. World Tycoon.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of neat, actually. Like, if they're going to do, like, a roller coaster tycoon, but you get to have dinosaurs, and, like, instead of... Okay. I really hope this reference is not lost on the entire audience, but there is, like, one of the most hilarious... I don't remember if it was Vine or YouTube or what it was, but one of the most hilarious fucking things I've ever seen in my life. I don't know why it's so funny to me. But there's this clip, and it's from one of those roller coaster tycoon games where you can actually watch... that people go down the roller coaster, right? And they're riding. And it starts off with Rihanna's song, We Found Love in a Hopeless Place. Like, it's all, like, happy and bouncy. And they're going on the roller coaster. And they're doing, like, the thing or whatever. And then all of a sudden, the track ends. And the music changes to Adele as the roller coaster goes flying off the track and all the people, and it goes in slow motion and all the people are flying off and there's explosions and gone away. No. It's a really sad Adele stuff, right? I don't know why. Maybe I was just drunk when I saw it the first time and I thought it was like the funniest thing I'd ever seen. So the reason why I bring that clip up is because... if in Jurassic World you're going to be able to, like, do that, but, like, you know, instead you might have an outbreak where, like, oops, the dinosaurs are eating your guests, that's going to be fucking rad.
Get down in that bathrooms in this park. I'm dropping your ass in the T-Rex cage.
Would you play a game like that, Darksoccer? I know you're not big on Microsoft, but could a Jurassic World game where the dinosaurs eat the guests, could that make you, like, look...
That was the only reason I watched, like... What was the second one where they took the dinosaur to New York?
San Diego, yes.
Yeah, whatever. Just because of the whole scene where they're all walking through the field and, like, they're being picked out like a buffet. And my friend Danielle and I were watching it laughing our asses off. I would play a game like where you could play the dinosaurs picking them out of the grass. So, yeah, maybe.
Okay.
I want to play the dinosaurs.
SSJ100 Matt says, looking for it now in regards to YouTube. Come on, Nolgus says, I'm convinced Rob is tipsy. I'm not. I'm totally sober right now.
You're high on life.
Alan will know where that YouTube is. He will know where it is. I'm going to ask him to go find it for me so you guys know I'm not crazy. And I'll post it to the OLR Twitter. There you go.
You know what now?
We're at what?
Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark.
All right. Anyway, we're going to get into our gaming weeks, but I do want to address one piece of, like, late-breaking-ish type of news after we finish show roll, but before the show started tonight. So I don't know if you guys saw, but it's going around Twitter right now that PlayStation got hacked, which is a half-truth, it seems, so far. It appears that, well, the social media clearly was hacked. PlayStation's social media account, there was a message on there that said, you know, da-da-da, we're this... I don't even remember who the group was, and it doesn't matter. But basically that, you know...
The hacker 4chan.
Yeah, we got in your account and all this stuff, and email us and all this. But I believe they claimed in that message to have, like, PlayStation login, but it's unclear if they meant... like the big thing that happened in 2011 or like we have your social media logins. So I wouldn't think you should panic right now about your own personal login. However, there is never a bad time to go in, change your password, and enable two-factor authentication. So, you know, whether they were hacked or not, maybe those are two things you should think about doing. Enable that two-factor auth. If you don't have it yet, now's a great time to do that and a great reminder for that. But otherwise, maybe they just brute forced social media passwords until they figured it out. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. So there you go. Did SSJ100 Matt find that YouTube clip? Oh my God, he did, didn't he? Wait, hold on. This is very important for live radio, and I know this is internet and radio, and you can't really see this or whatever. Yes, this is it. Oh my God, this is it. Okay, okay. No, this is very important. Dark Soccer, Loki, you have to see this.
There's a stranger.
Oh, it's not even the Rihanna song. It was like the Katy Perry. Okay, wait. Why did I think it... I mean, I know it's the backdrop to the Rihanna song, but I swear when I saw this, it was like...
Because they have
Rihanna
multiple,
song.
Like... They probably have multiple roller coaster things.
Maybe, I don't know. Right. Okay, anyway, I'm going to
fast... Yeah, the one that goes back into the crowd.
I'm going to fast forward, yes. Hold on, so they're going up, and they go down... Okay, here we go. see, and they're going through the roller coaster, and we're having so much fun. And
this is Roller Coaster Tycoon, isn't it?
Roller Coaster Tycoon 3. Yes. And then it goes up, and it's a crash.
Do you know that someone recreated?
Now imagine dinosaurs are eating all those people after they come off.
You know
the
what the
coaster.
Best part?
This really works for radio.
You know about the Jurassic Park game too? It's right. It's also on PlayStation and PC.
Rob. Oh, is it?
Rob. Someone made the Death Coaster in Roller Coaster Tycoon.
I'm sure everybody made the Death Coaster.
The Euthanasia Coaster. Now, what if the Euthanasia Coaster had dinosaurs? What a way to go.
Why not? You were big on The Sims. Have they ever done a dinosaur expansion for The Sims?
No, but I'm
sure
someone...
Well, what if they do now?
I'm sure someone did, like, Pets mods or something where you could have, like, velociraptors or something. I don't know.
All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
Come on, Noel Gus in chat says, if they want to hack my Tumblr, go for it. Lots of brute force solo vids on there. I guess that's what Tumblr's for. All right. Let's move on. So anyway, about the hacking for PlayStation, I wouldn't panic, but changing your password's never a bad idea. So let's talk about
also
our gaming
two-factor.
Wins. Yes, two-factor, always a good idea. Like, yes. If you don't have two-factor on your important shit, like your email, you have got...
Oh, wow. And I didn't realize, I think we talked about this, since it's done by the Planet Coaster devs, and Planet Coaster is pretty awesome. So
the Jurassic World games done by Planet Coaster?
Yeah, the Planet Coaster.
Oh. Okay, then maybe I'll play it.
Oh, that changes everything.
That's going to be some fucking awesome shit.
Okay,
right,
yeah. Now, oh, hype? Jurassic hype? All right. Let's get into our gaming week. Star Sakura.
Jack shit.
You didn't play anything?
I don't really play anything.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, I mean, other than Miitomo and Pokemon Go and Sailor Moon Drops.
That's something. Sailor Moon Drop. Oh, that's that little phone game, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's annoying. I really didn't play much of anything. I put down for a Kickstarter, which I will be talking about later. But no, I'm kind of gamed out for a little bit. Just for this week. It's been last week was kind of an odd week.
Taking a week off?
Yeah, I just needed to not stare at things so much. So we watched all of Defenders instead.
That's what it is. It was a Netflix weekend, not a video game.
It's
weekend.
All Jessica Jones all the time.
Aha, there's the answer. All
Jessica
right.
Jones plus Luke Cage equals OTP.
All right, so it's not that you're just over games. It's just that...
Well, I was actually a little tired of being, you know, latched to my computer after I'm on a computer all day at work. So
Fair enough. Yeah. All right, how about you, Loki? Did you have any luck with gaming?
No. No, honestly, this weekend was more of a Lego weekend because we made a trip to the Lego store. We have a Lego hobby shop nearby, and I bought one of the cool sets that they have from the Lego movie because my son really likes fire trucks, and they had a fire truck mech, and I was like, that shit's going to be awesome to put together, and it was. It was very awesome. What was also cool about that, too, is they actually have, it's an unlock code for the Lego movie game, which I have, so I can unlock a character or... I think that mech thing in that game, so that's pretty cool. I did play a little bit of like mobile stuff. Still playing the Office Space game. They've tweaked it some more. Like each week, it's a different game almost. They keep adding stuff to it. And then I also played a little bit Pokemon Go because my son went back to school, and he used to have a Pokestop at his school, but apparently because, you know, portals and Pokestops at schools is a big no-no. Someone finally caught on and they removed it. And I was like, oh, God damn it. Now what the hell am I going to do in the morning? So, yeah, that was unfortunate. And then I played Ingress. And by playing Ingress, I mean I opened up to Ingress and I took out, you know, some items from my MUFG capsules so that they can just keep generating.
Oh, you played more than I did of that game this
more
week.
More things that I'm never going to use because I'm just not interested anymore. But... You know, occasionally I'll just like, did any of my, you know, Jarvis viruses duplicate? Oh, once in like 2 months. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's worth it.
There you go.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase price.
All right, let's see, my game of week. All right, I played some stuff. I played a little bit. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, the stuff I've been continuing with. If you watched after the show last week, I did Ori and the Blind Forest on Twitch, and I think that was a really fun stream. And that game, I'm really glad I went back and revisited that game, and I need to play more of it. I just, you know, I got sidetracked with other stuff, including Splatoon 2, which I still have been playing. I'm really trying to force myself to use things that are not the roller. And I'm actually, you know what? My score is getting better by using the dualies.
So, have you tried the umbrella or whatever that was?
No, because the umbrella is level 9, and I'm still level 8, but I'm like one
bucket.
I'm one match away from level 9. The bucket, I like it as a weapon, but I'm not very good with it. Same thing with the paintbrush. I love the paintbrush as a weapon, but I'm not very good with it. But I might go back and try to like force myself to play it more. Because here's the thing. I don't do motion controls with the roller. But I will do motion controls with the dualies and the like the guns because I kind of think you have to. Like, I'm starting to realize, like, okay, if you want more of that kind of, like, mouse and keyboard type of feeling, you kind of have to use motion controls. And they did make it so that, like, you know, when you press the Y button, it resets so it doesn't get too crazy. And, you know, it is sensitive. I mean, the motion control technology has come a long way since the Nintendo Wii. So, like, you know, it's not, like, crazy. It's pretty, especially with the Pro Controller. I use Pro Controller. It feels pretty good. So I'm just kind of forcing myself to learn that way, and I'm making progress. So I feel a little better about what I'm doing in Splatoon 2. And then let's see, one new game that I checked out this week, Sonic Mania on PlayStation 4, actually. I forgot that game was coming out on Switch, and I saw it on the PlayStation 4, and I bought it. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, that game was out this week. And then I realized it was coming out on the Switch. I was like, shoot, I could have got it there so I could have it portable and TV. But, oh, well, I have the trophies and whatever, you know, sharing and all that stuff the PlayStation has. So whatever. But I like Sonic Mania. It's cool. It's basically what Sonic 4 should have been. I mean, that's what it is. It's what Sonic 4 should have been. So they're getting to it now. The only like tiny little complaint I could have about Sonic Mania is that I feel like there's still a couple bugs in it. Like, I beat a boss. Okay, I don't want to spoil it, but at the end of the second, at the end of the chemical plant zone, there's a boss where everybody's like, whoa, cool, you know, type of thing. Okay, I beat that boss and got a game over screen. Like, as soon as I, like, flew out of the boss fight, I got a game over screen. I was like, what the hell? Did I, like, run out of time or something? What the hell happened? So I thought that was weird. It was a weird bug. But it's fine. There's tiny little bugs. They'll get patched. It's not too big a deal. Because the bugs aren't, besides that one, it wasn't that big a deal. But the only other thing is that the bonus rounds kind of show up almost too much. Like, I felt like half the time I was playing that bonus game from Sonic 3 with the blue spheres and the red spheres. Like, I spent, like, half my time playing that game, which I just started skipping them at some point. Like, I don't even bother to do those bonus games as much anymore because I want to play the actual side-scroller game, which is great. And there's, like, what I really like is that they'll do, like, Green Hill Zone because they have to because it's Sonic. So they'll do that for Act 1. But then when they do Act 2, it's still Green Hill Zones, but they've put a new twist on it. Like, they added a zip line to it, like a new power-up or something that didn't exist before. And they do that a lot in Chemical Plant Zone, too, where there's, like, all these new things that weren't there before. So I thought that was...
If it makes Chemical Plant suck less.
It does. Believe it or not, it makes it suck less. I mean, it's they still... Like, they keep some of the cool stuff. Like, you know how, like, the ramps in Chemical Plant Zone kind of looked like a helix? Like, they still do that, but now they have, like, other power-ups and things that make the zone more interesting. So, yeah, I'm enjoying Sonic Mania. I think this would be right up your alley, Dark Soccer. You guys should consider checking that out.
Thinking about it.
Yeah. Let's see. Tiger Claw in chat says, did you play with Sonic and Tails? Because having Tails around helps you get into certain places that are unreachable. I have not played it that way yet, but I'm aware that that's a thing. Come on, Noel Gus in chat says, can you play as Knuckles? Yes. You can select between Sonic, Knuckles, Tails, or Sonic and Knuckles or Sonic and Tails. I think the only thing you can't do is Tails and Knuckles. And I might even be wrong on that because I haven't played around with it as much. So there you go. So I do recommend Sonic Mania if you're into like old school Sonic games and Sonic's been kind of weird to you lately because it was only $20. So it's a pretty good deal. So good times on that. And then I played a little bit of No Man's Sky because of the whole reimagining. I want to get it on PC, but I should say smartly, I guess, they bumped the price back up to $60. after that little sale they had last week. They put the price back up to $60.
Yeah, I should have bought it.
Yeah, I know. I should have bought it during that sale.
Just wait for the next Steam sale.
Yeah, there'll be another. I'm not that worried about it. But yeah, they're trying to cash in on people that are like, oh, I should revisit this game now because of the changes and all that stuff. A little bit of Overwatch as well. I think I did some streaming of Overwatch the other night, actually. I did Deathmatch on PTR, and I got my ass handed to me. It was really bad, but it was nice to, like, try it out. So, yeah, that's it. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, there's a secret mode to even do Knuckles and Knuckles. So I was not even aware of that. So there's secrets I have yet to discover in the game. How about that?
But what would be the point of doing Knuckles
because and
Knuckles?
Because you can. What's the point of doing a lot of stuff in games? Because you can. Anyway, we're going to get into news, but first some housekeeping. We're not going to be here the week after next because Dragon Con. I'm going to be at Dragon Con. So if you're going to be in the Atlanta area, you should come check out Dragon Con. I'm going to be on several panels throughout the weekend. We'll have the list all pointed and posted at VogNetwork.com during this week, but I'm on like three panels during the podcast track. Bobby's on like four or five. And it's not just limited to the podcasting track because our pals over at Critical Myth, Gary and John, they're on several panels having to do with television. Brian from British Invaders, big part of the Brit track. He's on several panels over there. So there's lots of VOG people to see. Also, something new we're going to try this year for Dragon Con, because we just launched a few weeks ago our VOG Network Discord. And if you're not there yet, you should check it out. VOGNetwork.com/Discord will get you your invite. You know, it's open. Just, you know, don't be a jerk and you'll be fine. We don't ban people unless you need it. Come to our Discord server. We created a new channel called Dragon Con 2017, where if you're going to Dragon Con, you can get updates and reminders about like where we'll be and when, if you want to like try to meet up with us. And for people not going to Dragon Con, we'll post like some pictures and videos and little like bonus clips things into the channel so people can kind of live vicariously through us. So hopefully that'll be fun. So check that out over at vognetwork.com/Discord. All right. Otherwise, you know, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. Facebook's good too. 5-star reviews on iTunes or wherever you found this show. All that stuff goes a long, long way, and we appreciate it. Let's get into some gaming news. Loki.
So they're doing, finally, Mewtwo is coming to Pokemon Go. And it's going to be coming via the raid battles, of course, but it's a brand new type of raid battle called exclusive raid battles. So, with that, I guess the way it's going to work is, assuming where these are going to come, because it's going to be different places, but if you have done you have to be invited to these battles, and in order to get an invite, you would have had to have completed a traditional raid battle at the location where it's supposed to appear. So they're saying that you get an invite, and I guess they let you know when this, you know, event's going to happen.
They're really not doing a good job explaining this.
No, they are not.
They need to show screenshots. They need to walk through an example because this is a weird system. Because how do I know which gyms I should be fighting? So, I mean, in a way, I think Niantic's being a little bit skeezy with this because that tells me you need to play raids at as many gyms as possible. So buy more raid passes. Nyuk, nyuk, nyuk. And I'm just like, go to hell. You know what I mean? I mean, yes, you get a free raid pass every day, a free raid pass every day. And if you're getting your coins, I guess you could get others if you don't buy incubators or anything else. But I'm just a little bit like, I'm a little side-eyed with Niantic right now. Like, you need to explain this better because also the infrastructure in Pokemon Go, like, there's still a lot of garbage stuff happening in the game. For example, yesterday, Alan and I went raiding downtown so we could try to get some more. Our friend JD was here. We had another friend we were raiding with. So there was a group of four of us trying to go get some of the things like Lugia and Articuno and, you know, some of those things that are out right now. So we went to do a Lugia raid. No, it wasn't Lugia. It was Articuno at one of the light rail stops downtown where Articuno was spawned. And so we did the raid, and there was 12 of us. Well, only 11 of us got in because what happened? While Alan was trying to get into the battle, his game crashed. He used his raid pass to get in there, and then the game crashed. He tried to bring it right back up as fast as possible, but he was continuously getting network errors, so he couldn't get back into the game right away. Finally, as soon as the raid battle's done, his network errors stop. He gets in the game, but he gets none of the rewards, and his raid pass has been spent. So he can go back in and do another battle, and we waited 30 minutes for more people to show up. But I just thought that was a little garbage that, you know, if you spend the raid pass to get in there, because the phone and the network and all this stuff is still a little wonky and isn't rock solid, you can still get screwed out of something. And I just can't imagine that happening with Mewtwo. People are going to be crazy about that stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember, I thought of another time. We were raiding outside this restaurant. We were doing, I think it was when Zapdos was out. And there was this 7-year-old kid who was trying to do this. And as soon as Zapdos, like, died and it went into the catch thing, the little kid's phone crashed and he started crying because he was like, I wanted to catch the Zapdos. And his, like, dad ran over and was, like, trying to fix it. And I think they were able to get right back in and everything. But I was just like, you know, I definitely had that moment of, like, wow, these tech issues cause little kids to cry. Good job, Niantic. You're making kids cry. So I just feel like before they roll out this crazy shit where it's like, well, in order to do this, you're going to have to align during the solar eclipse. You're going to have to visit the second star on the right and head straight on until morning. And then you have to make sure that you have the upgrade item over here. And you have to raid over here in this city. And then over here in this. Before they roll out all these stupid rules, like, you need to, like, iron out the fucking game that you have. Because there's a lot to love about Pokemon Go. There really is. But I would have a much easier time loving it if it would work reliably. And it doesn't right now. So could you get on that first before you decide to do this whole, now we're going to raid, do an even crazier type of raid where probably even more people are going to be there because we'll probably invite 100 people to take on Mewtwo at these. I'm just, oh God, I just fear what this is going to look like. Now, here's the other interesting
thing. It'll look like Chicago.
Now, here's the other interesting thing. If I did this rolls out the 1st of September.
Yeah.
Okay. Guess where I'm going to be the 1st of September? Atlanta. Dragon Con. Now, I see that there's good news and bad news. The good news is there's going to be no fucking shortage of people to raid. That's a given. If one of those fuckers spawns at the hotel, at the stop of the hotel, like, it's fucking on. But the other thing is, I'm like, wait a minute. If I'm going to be in Atlanta on the 1st of September, am I going to keep getting raid invites back here in Sacramento? Because that part is going to fucking suck. So I'm going to be a little peeved if, like,
don't worry, it's not
coming
to Sacramento. It's going to be like Central Park, New York. And that way we can have, you know, the news thing of, like,
no, Mewtwo will be in more places than that. But it's just, you know, I'm a little scared about this whole thing. So we'll see. Let's see. Come on. Noel Gus in chat says, Pokey, no, I'm not giving them another dime. Let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, I hope the Mewtwo thing is handled better than that event a few weeks back. SG100 Matt says, I beat a Moltres earlier this week. The game crashed during the bonus catch portion. When I got back in, it displayed it like I never beat it. I tried to fight it again, and it kept erroring out. I lost my raid pass and got nothing to show for it. And SG100 Matt continues, Central Park is shit for Pokemon Go playing. The game has a hard time processing everything going on there. Oh, yeah, and it's Spoofer Central.
Oh,
there's
right,
spoofers
exactly.
Everywhere
it may be shit, but that means nothing to Niantic. It's just a location on a map for them.
Pier 39 is no... I mean, I have an easier time playing in San Francisco at Pier 39. I have an easier time doing that with the little Pogo Plus and my phone off. Like, because it doesn't have to render all the other shit going on, like, with the game up. Because one of my friends that I was with, his game kept crashing over and over and over again. But again, that just goes back to the point of, look, I think it's great that Niantic has, like, got these new ideas for the game and the gym stuff is really, like, neat now and all this other stuff. But, like, seriously, Niantic, fix the fucking game you have before trying to, like, go crazy with all these flavors. Don't go crazy. Anyway.
I can't wait for Ingress to be on this engine, too.
Well, I don't know.
At least there's a lot less people playing that.
Ingress is kind of over unless they do something really cool in 2.0. But Ingress is just getting really stale. But anyway, that's
we got to catch these portal beasts and the containment
portal
balls.
Beasts
and there's gonna be a gym that you battle them.
I'm. You know, I still bring up Ingress once in a while. If somebody asked me to do a favor, like, bump their portals, of course I'll do it. You know, if I'm going to be there anyway playing Pokemon too. But it's also one of the things where it's just like, I kind of, if any game needs, like, an energy meter, Ingress needs it. I know that's not a popular opinion, but...
No, I agree, because there's people that dedicate their lives to that game, and that's not healthy for any game.
Yeah, no.
You should not be waking up at 2 in the morning to spend all day playing, and then, like, literally all day playing.
Jamie?
You need an energy meter?
What?
Me. So that you can see when I'm low energy.
Do I have to pay you $10 to recharge?
Yes, you have to pay me $10 to recharge, or pizza. All
right.
Or coffee. Coffee!
Anyhow, I offered you coffee. All right.
Yeah, I was already drinking a soda.
Moving on. Let's talk about, let's go back to Microsoft and talk about more bad news for Microsoft. In fact, this could be the worst news of the entire week. I don't know. You guys be the judge. But so Xbox One is getting a new game that just came out this past week, Conan Exiles. That's right. Now, of course, this game was already on PC. And why was this game famous on PC? Why did this game take over on Twitch?
Because it's riveting gameplay. It's just such a great MMO.
That's right. That's right. Oh, and dongs everywhere. Dongs, dongs, dongs.
Think
more
of
dongs.
The children.
And yes, titties, the beeve. All of it was
think
all
of
on
the
display.
Children who can access can consoles you, but can't access PC.
Can you decide how hairy it is?
I don't know. I haven't played the game. But I do know it did have the dongs had a meter. And you could adjust the...
I almost bought it.
Endowment.
I almost
sliders.
Bought it, but I bought Tacoma instead.
That was probably a good choice. Oh, I keep forgetting Tacoma came out. I need to play that. Anyway. Yeah.
But did they have dong meters in Tacoma?
Well, here's the problem. No, they do not. But you gotta make tough decisions sometimes. Well, here's the thing. In America, the ESRB rated Conan Exiles M for mature and not AO because in America, only partial nudity will be allowed. However, in Europe, all that will be on display. So is the Xbox One region free? Because if so, you need to buy your copy of this game from Europe. And then new Dong City everywhere.
Yeah, but the problem is, I think, is it's server-based, isn't it? So I would assume
is
the
it?
Game copies are all... It's an MMO, so...
Maybe.
If you're in a certain region. PC Master Race.
Well, anyway, if you want to play this on Xbox One in America, you will be forced to wear panties. You will be forced to put your panties on and play the game without your private parts being everywhere on display.
Why do we have to hide this from, like, I mean, they had dongs in other games. I don't understand why it's such a big deal. Is it because children have accesses? Because fucking retarded parents are like, I'm just going to... This is M and it has adult content and nudity.
Well,
I'm going to buy it for my five-year-old over here.
Remember, America has less of a problem with violence than they do with bits.
It's a little more complicated than that, Loki, because the AO rating, unfortunately... And I'm just telling you why. I'm not saying this is a good thing. Unfortunately, the AO rating is pretty much akin to the NC-17 rating. And when you have an NC-17 rating, the theater will not show it. Blockbuster won't rent it.
Unless it's Showgirls.
You know what I mean? Those 10 Blockbusters left in America won't rent it. And
unless
so
it's Showgirls.
Well, because it's edited down to an R-rated version. Which is what happened here. And that's what happened in Showgirls. They had to put panties on. In Showgirls, they had to draw them on. Well, that was the VH1 edit, right? So that's what happened
yeah,
here.
That was ridiculous.
They had to draw on those fake panties and bras and things. They had to draw them on. In fact, actually, I would play Conan Exiles if it looked like it did in the VH1 Showgirls edit.
That VH1
that's
Showgirls edit was like that Safe for Work porn videos that you see where they're like playing the drums and like shit like that. Like it's drawn in MS Paint.
Yeah, it is great. It's great.
It's pretty bad.
Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes. So the AO rating. Here's the problem. With an AO rating, you can't stream the game on Twitch. GameStop won't sell it. A lot of major retail. Walmart ain't going to sell it.
Well, can you stream the PC version on Twitch?
Yes.
Then what's
I know. I'm just saying. Twitch is... I mean, again, I don't work for Twitch. Maybe they have a policy that I'm unclear on, but last I understood it, the Twitch policy is if the game is rated AO, you can't stream it on Twitch. And they actually have a list of games. And they also have certain... indie games that are unrated that are also on the list. Age of Conan is not one of those games that's on the list, last I heard. If I'm wrong, live chatters, please correct me on that. But I believe that's the difference. When a game's on PC, Loki, it doesn't have to be rated. Games on console have to be rated. So I think Age of Conan wasn't rated when it came out. And so, dong, 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 everywhere. And now on the console, you know, censorship. Forced underwear. Let's see. Come on, Noel Gus in chat says, Twitch doesn't like dongs, I thought. Well, they certainly don't like real dongs, and let's make that clear, too, and that goes for lady parts, too. So you are, you do, like, they actually, I think, like, Twitch has a rule that's like, put a goddamn shirt on. Like, I think, I don't
oh,
think.
Oh, they have a shirt on with, it's still technically a shirt. It's just, you know, that V-neck goes
yeah, with that V-neck
down.
That drops way down, and I promise I won't wear it again, but.
What were they calling that sweater? The manslayer or?
You mean the rompers?
No, no, no. They had those sweaters.
For men?
The virgin killer. That was it.
I don't even know what that is.
No, it was like these really low cut in the back.
Am I allowed to wear a male romper on Twitch?
No, like no one's allowed to wear a male romper.
Fuck that. But you're stifling my artistic creativity with my body as the canvas.
No,
if I want to wear a male romper full of kittens, I'm gonna do it.
Oh, you can wear it full of kittens, but just wearing a male romper, no, no one, and no one, no, no, never.
Let's see, go into chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Rama says to me in chat, says there are guys that can wear them too for boudoir. Are you familiar with the trend that is boudoir? Dark Sakura?
I'd rather not.
Well, you know boudoir, right? If you know boudoir photography places, you know, where housewives can get, you know, Christmas presents for their husbands.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Well, now, boudoir is... Well, Loki, maybe Mrs. Loki would like some boudoir this holiday.
I doubt it. unless they have models in hand that can take pictures, because... Because that ain't... Maybe we can get that guy from, what was it, Criminal Minds or whatever.
What guy from Criminal Minds?
The black dude with the weird eyebrows.
I've never watched that show, so I have no idea.
He's a pretty attractive guy.
Is he an attractive guy?
He's a very attractive man.
All right, so, Nelly wants boudoir of that individual.
Yeah, she'd rather have a boudoir of that, probably. And I don't blame her, because he is a very attractive man. He just needs to shave his eyebrows a little bit, because he's got the unibrow going, and it's just not,
it's all right, it's all right,
not
yeah,
that hot.
All right. Not
Joe Mantenka. No.
I don't even know where the hell I left off with this Conan Exiles thing. Now, wouldn't that be a game? Conan Exiles.
David Duchovny, man.
By the way, I posted the Virgin Killer sweater in chat for you.
I'm sorry. Dark Tetsuya with the comment of the week. The dongs are out there. Moving on now, quickly. Dark Sakura, bring the mood down. No, it's not a read on you. I just know.
I know.
I'm fully endorsing the Virgin Killer sweaters, yes.
I'm going to look this up and hope that it makes my day, as opposed to what Dark Sakura
is. Make sure that you look up Virgin Killer sweaters and not just Virgin Killer, because that's like some German death metal band.
Well, German death metal's cool.
Okay, everyone, get ready to cry. Rob, I need sad music, really.
You should prep. This is all the music I have.
It's going to be for every segment.
The last update for Mass Effect Andromeda 1.0.
Oh, wait, I know what we haven't used in a long time, Dark Sakura.
This is appropriate.
If Rick Astley can team up with the Foo Fighters to make a new song.
F you of the year.
This is fucked up. Fuck you, BioWare. Fuck you for this. I will never forgive you. In the name of the moon, I will punish you. The last update for Mass Effect Andromeda was the last for single player. There's no more future patches for single player or in-story content. Where are our Quarians? Fuck you. This is all...
Lost in space.
This is all because of that stupid... What the fuck is that game again? Anthem?
No. Well, yes and no.
Fuck this Anthem.
No. This is Twitter's fault. This is Twitter's fault. I blame Twitter. I place the blame for this...
I blame Anthem.
...on Twitter's doorstep.
Please. Let's not give Twitter, you know, the credit that's due to the worst company in America several years in a row... EA. Let's not let them out.
There is that too.
Mass Effect Andromeda could have been everything that the fans wanted, but no. They short-staffed and short-changed it. So the only party I am holding accountable to this is fucking EA. I will not be buying Anthem. I will not play Anthem. I will not look at anything about Anthem on the internet. I don't. It will not exist to me. The last BioWare game I ever anticipate playing is whatever the next Dragon Age one is, because I'm supporting franchises. Hello.
I do feel like this is some sort of like really bad breakup between myself and BioWare, and like if BioWare still wants to be able to like call me to hang out once in a while, then BioWare needs to like prove their love for me. Does that make sense, Dark Sakura? BioWare needs to like right this wrong. And Anthem ain't going to do it. Now, if they've hired back Casey Hudson to like kind of do this over again and do a Mass Effect game that, you know, isn't going to get eaten alive and will be given the time it needs to incubate well and so forth and fight EA so that the game will be released when it's fucking good and ready and not early like this game came out. Like, if that is going to happen, then BioWare can still call me once in a while and we can have fun.
No.
But as it is, blocked.
I am not going to buy Anthem, and I encourage other people not to buy it until we get something worthwhile in Mass Effect.
And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be people, there's definitely going to be people that are going to tweet or whatever, or, you know, say, that is irrational. The Anthem is a different game. This is irrational.
It's because it exists at all.
It's one of those things, though, that I go, well, now they've got a track record. BioWare showing that they're not interested in supporting games past a certain point. So, maybe I'll have to think about that when Anthem comes out. Is it a fully featured game? Because it's not likely to get much updates in the future, like Mass Effect and Dragon Age used to.
Yeah.
So in
Dragon Age, though, Inquisition had really good support.
Yeah. I missed that, BioWare. Where did they go?
Isn't it a different BioWare team that made this Mass
Effect? Yeah, well, they're gone now.
Why I said was.
And didn't the NPD numbers for last month come out? I know that's not on the show roll tonight, but I swear I saw that.
Yeah, okay. Because there was a Switch that outsold the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Yes, I realize that's the big headline, but if I recall, I was looking at the top 10 games sold list. Mass Effect Andromeda was on the top 10 games sold list. It didn't even come out this month.
But it's on sale.
Okay, but my point is, it's still one of the top 10 selling games in America, and that wasn't good enough?
No.
I don't understand. Come on, Noel Gus in chat says, Rob Roberts is the Sarah Jessica Parker, and EA is the Mr. Big. Is he making fun of my nose? I think it might be.
He's making a Jessica Jones reference.
No, it's not Jessica Jones.
Sarah Jessica, like Sex in the City.
Sex in the City.
Mr. Yeah,
I don't even fucking watch that. I've watched.
Even I knew that.
I've watched one episode of that show, and it was one where Kate Capshaw's character had a bad chemical peel.
Ah.
That's all I remember about it was her chemical peel.
So, ironic. I shouldn't tell the story. I'm just going to say, years ago, before Alan, there was a gentleman that I was seeing that would watch that show a lot. And so I kind of got subjected to that show that way. And ever since, I haven't watched it again. So I think it's one of those, like, what do they call that? The Pavlov Association type of thing? That's what I have with Sex and the City. I see Sex and the City and I think, oh, yeah, that guy.
That's a show.
That's a show. All right. Anyway. Let's see. Dungeon Buster in chat says, relegating all of that lore to an expanded universe format just feels as if they're trying to pass the buck to a medium they won't have to really deal with. Oh, yes. Thank you. That's a good thing to bring up there is that, and Dungeon Buster posted this on Discord, too, and I remember seeing this, is that the Quarians and all this stuff, because Dark Sucker, you asked, what about the Quarian? Well, there will be a comic book, or there is going to be a novel, or I don't know, whatever the fuck else, but let's say a comic book. So, Dark Sakura, here's the question. Think about this before you answer. If a comic book is to come out that says what happened to the Quarians, will you buy it to show support for Mass Effect Andromeda, or will you say no thank you because BioWare has turned your back on you?
I would buy anything in the Mass Effect franchise, of course.
Okay. That actually was not the answer I was expecting, so I'm glad I asked.
What?
No, I was honestly expecting B.
I would support the Mass Effect franchise.
Okay. No, that's great. That's why I asked. I stand corrected.
I just won't support Anthem. Because it's what took resources from the Mass Effect
development. You're not going to support the new Miss America because you're all about the old Miss America. I think. That's a terrible... I couldn't think of an analogy at all.
I will support the franchise that I like.
Ooh. Here's a good question from Tiger Claw. What if... Oh, I like this. Grill Jamie on her feelings. What if... But they're all valid feelings. You all have them too. What if Mass Effect was... Thank you. Brad from Pop Culture, much better analogy. New Doctor versus Old Doctor. But I think a lot of people are really into 13 right now. So, I mean, we have to see an episode of the show to really know.
It's more along the lines of, we wrote the story for the DLC, but we don't want to pay programmers to make it. So let's release a comic book.
Truth bomb. All right. Here's the question from Tiger Claw. What if Mass Effect was given to another developer other than BioWare?
Okay.
Hmm. I would say, for me, it would depend on who's the talent behind it.
If they give it to a competent developer, sure.
Yeah, who's doing it? Who's writing it? Who's, you know, is somebody from the old team still involved? Like, who, what's...
To use the Doctor Who analogy.
Okay.
It's the same reason why people who only liked the serials will still watch the new Doctor Who. It's why people who were completely disgusted with Moffat's writing still endured it to watch something that they enjoyed. I hate Stephen Moffat's writing, and I hated a good portion of the episodes that he wrote. But I kept watching until I was just way too sick of it, you know, I'll put it that way.
Okay.
You know, I did, you know, okay, I'll go back to another thing. Jessica Jones has been my favorite comic book character since her conception in Alias and The Pulse. And I didn't really quite like how she was handled during the Civil War comics, but I read it anyway, and I picked up Secret Avengers that she was in because I wanted to read about the character. I've read crappy X-Men comics because I liked X-Men, so I'm just saying.
All right, let's see.
And this isn't about you, Brad. It's about me.
By the way, come on. You did get come on. No, you got a little yes in chat from Come On Nolgus, who says Moffat was garbage. All right, Mama, this is garbage. Anyway, moving on. SSG100 Matt in chat says to play devil's advocate. It's not the people who are working on Anthem's fault about what happened to Mass Effect. If the game doesn't sell, they may be cut because of poor sales.
Okay.
Two points to that, though. I actually will help in disputing this because I'm a little salty on Anthem as well. Because, well, one, we just talked about the MPD numbers. Andromeda is selling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's selling more than most games. I mean, maybe it's just not selling, I guess, what EA had set the expectations was set for it. But here's the thing with Anthem. Yes, it is Anthem's fault because this Mass Effect was given to another studio so that the studio that was doing Mass Effect could focus on Anthem. And apparently there was just not enough collaboration. There's not enough. And didn't somebody from that team, the Mass Effect team, go to the Anthem team?
Yeah.
So, yes, Anthem pulled resources from Mass Effect. So we're a little salty about it.
And the one to blame? EA.
EA, exactly. So, sorry. Anyway, just a little counterpoint on that, but I realize there are going to be some people that
and
are like...
Moffat is still a misogynist asshole, so whatever.
All right, let's move on. On that note, more news. Loki.
All right. So, we've got Nintendo, of course, doing a bundle for Splatoon 2. Yes, I know, it just came out, but they have a bundle that's coming soon... next few months with some new controller colors. Yay! So it's going to bundle the game along with the Switch and then a neon green and neon pink Joy-Cons. And those are going to be coming, looks like, I want to say later this fall, starting September 8th. So just a little after the next Splatfest.
Bummer that it's exclusive to one store.
Yep, it's exclusive to Walmart. Nice. At least it's not Evil G.
Still, though. I know people that want those Joy-Cons. Heck, one of my friends ordered those Joy-Con, those colors, from Japan so we could have them.
We know who that friend
we
is.
All know, yeah. We all know who that is. But, I mean, seriously, it's one of those things where it's like, it would be nice if they would just release those Joy-Cons in the U.S. to anybody.
Yeah, it's going to be $379.99, so you're not really getting much of a discount there, but...
But let's be real, Splatoon is a great game that's worth owning a Nintendo Switch over. I would say it's not Zelda in terms of a system seller, but they're very different types of games, and maybe there's something in Splatoon 2 for you that Zelda doesn't bring you, such
although
as competitiveness.
Although, now that I look at that, you know, because the system itself is like, what, $299?
Yeah.
So that's actually more than buying the Switch and the game by itself.
Doesn't it come with something else, too?
It comes with a carrying case.
Okay, because it comes with a carrying case. Pro controller? Or no?
No.
It doesn't have that Amiibo?
No.
Huh. There's got to be something. It's a carrying case or something is sweetening that pot.
Yeah, it's just that cheap-ass carrying case that they have with it, but you would think that'd be something they would throw
okay,
in there for free.
ActDev says that case costs $20 to $30. So
you're paying...
It's a GameStop bundle, basically. It's a forced GameStop bundle where you get a case you didn't ask for.
Whatever. I guess you don't have to buy this version of it.
All right. I already have my Switch, so this is not something I'm really going to pick up, but... you know, I might be into Joy-Cons in different colors, although, I don't know. The only ones I've really liked are the ARMS yellow ones. And I'm not even super into ARMS. Like, I totally passed on that game, but I like those ARMS yellow ones. But, I know some people are totally against me on this, and this is just, maybe this will have to be a splatfest they do in the future, is Team Gray Joy-Cons versus Team Color Joy-Cons, because the gray ones match the rest of the system, and that is important as well to me. But I do like the yellow ones. If I was going to get any Joy-Cons, I'd get those yellow ones. So, all right. Anyhow, let's talk about some weird drama involving trophies that's right on the PlayStation 4, because the upcoming game Life is Strange Before the Storm apparently had a trophy available, but it was only available in the bonus episode with the more expensive deluxe edition, meaning that the platinum trophy, which you get for getting all other trophies, unattainable unless you bought the more expensive deluxe edition. Wow. Jerk move, Square Enix. Although, to be fair, it looks like it is truly an oversight and not something that they intended to do, because they did come out and say it was a mistake. So it was not our intention to give the platinum trophy via the optional bonus episode in the deluxe edition. And so we started speaking to the parties about rectifying this. So my assumption is that I know that PlayStation can do this thing with trophies where that DLC goes into little plus sign things. Like Diablo 3 just did this, because I had 100% in Diablo 3 and got my platinum trophies. But a couple weeks ago, that 100% dropped down to 85% or something like that. And I was like, but I still have my platinum trophy. And I was like, what the fuck? Well, it turns out because Diablo 3 released that Necromancer pack, they put new trophies in with the Necromancer pack. But what they do is they do, like, when you go into the game, then there's, like, a little plus sign that you can click on for the Necromancer pack. So you don't need those trophies to get the Platinum trophy, but there are still more trophies. So I think games with big DLC and expansion packs, they do this, a little plus sign. So maybe my assumption is that's what Life is Strange is going to do, is turn this DLC into a plus sign so it won't be required for that Platinum trophy anymore. Because, you know, some people take that trophy hunting real seriously.
Yeah.
And especially in a story-based game like Life is Strange, where sometimes it's a little easier to get the trophies, people go to those to get their platinum trophies. So, anyway. Of course, you could always just enjoy the game for the story or because it's a decent game, but I guess I'm talking crazy. Dark Soccer, what do you got for us?
Tears. Angry, angry, salty tears.
More?
No, not really. There is a game that, and I'm gonna be very terrible because it was suggested to me on Tumblr, and I'm sorry who suggested it, and I'm too lazy to go look. So, it's a Kickstarter right now for a game called Necrocosmos, which is a Metroidvania in space type game. It kind of looks like it does Blaster Mastery things, and then has bullet hell things, and like power-ups and like emo-ness. And then you've got different stages or ways you can take through the game, and you equip like different DNA for your gun that lets you do different effects and stuff. And I was like, is this going to be my answer to the Guardian Legend? Maybe. So I put money on it. I admit I put money on it. It is the second thing I put money on a Kickstarter for. So the first one, Hot to Full Boyfriend plushies. The second one, this game.
Wow. So you don't jump in on that stuff very often.
Nope. Have my plushies, though.
Dungeon Buster in chat says, I played the demo for Necrocosmos. It's neat, but paying to save in the game is just a no for me. So
paying to save?
I guess it must be something. Can you elaborate on that, Dungeon Buster? Because I must admit, I don't know much about this game.
Maybe it adds to the challenge.
Oh, is it? Is this something with like in-game currency? Do we mean real money or in-game currency? Because $5. I know. Oh my God, that would be cruel. Because that Ori and the Blind Forest I was just playing, you have to use energy to create a safe spot. So I mean,
you have to spend a cabin in Final Fantasy.
Okay, in-game. Oh, interesting. You pay in-game currency, but the cost rises with every save. It's interesting.
Okay.
You would think there'd be a mode where you could disable that, though. But that would be interesting for people that, Dark Souls. It's Dark Souls mode.
Okay.
All right. Interesting. All right, I'll have to check this out, though. I'm a big fan of Metroid-type games and all that good stuff. So, all right. Just a few more stories for you guys, then the classic game of the week, Loki.
All right. So you may remember that recently they had changed the name of Battle.net to, what did they change it to? Something else?
Blizzard Launcher.
Blizzard
something like
Launcher,
that.
Yeah. And everyone thought, what the hell? That's kind of stupid. Battle.net's been, you know, this name that it's been synonymous for this for the longest time. Why the hell did you change it? You know, it's kind of confusing. And so they went ahead and changed it back. So Blizzard made a comment saying, we understood that Battle.net stood for something special. It represents years of shared history and enjoyment, community and friendship for all of us and our players. The technology was never going away, but after giving the branding change further consideration, and also hearing your feedback, we are in agreement that the name should stay as well. Which makes sense. Because just like the new name was stupid, the Blizzard Launcher. I don't know. It's branding.
Well, I think a big part of it too is that nobody would call it that. They were still calling it Battle.net.
That's true. Yeah.
Some days you belong to your fans, and that's what happens with Blizzard sometimes. So,
I don't know. When they were considering changing it, did they ever think like, do we really need to change it? I mean, I don't know why.
They had some branding idea, I guess. I wonder if it wasn't related to Destiny 2 coming into the launcher. Maybe they didn't want to call it Battle.net because of the whole Destiny 2 thing. I don't know.
Battle in Destiny?
No, you do, but it's Blizzard's baby. I don't know. It's still called the Blizzard Launcher, so I don't know. It was around the same time. That's all I'm saying, so it could be related. All right. Well, speaking of Blizzard games, I think this is kind of neat. This is something new that they've added into Twitch, and it's specific to a Blizzard game, specifically Overwatch, although I think Hearthstone is getting this as well. But I actually used this on Twitch today, and I thought it was neat. So you can go on to, let's say you go onto the Twitch website. Doesn't work on the console versions or the app or anything like that yet. But if you go to the website and you actually browse for Overwatch streams, it'll actually allow you to filter the streams by what hero they're playing. So if you want to see people who play Sombra, because she's fucking awesome, you can filter for Sombra and see people playing Sombra. And even when you're looking at the list, you'll actually see a little picture of the hero, and it shows you what that person is playing right now. Well, how does it do this? Apparently,
black magic.
That's right, dark magic. No, apparently it's because of this technology that was acquired by Twitch called ClipMine. ClipMine had a deep learning video platform that recognizes in-game objects, text, and levels, which are then selected via the site's filters. So the game kind of knows what hero you've picked because it saw it on the hero select screen, or it's noticing it in the corner where the hero thing is, or something like that. So I think that's kind of neat, because if you go in and you look at Overwatch streams, there's a billion of them. But sometimes, and I even say this, I'm somebody who really enjoys playing Sombra. There's a reason I named her. I think she's really good. She's hated by a lot of Overwatch players because some people kind of don't know how to play her. They'll just go in there guns a-blazing, and that's not really how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to be stealthy. But I've kind of learned more about how to play Sombra by watching other people play Sombra. And that's, you know, you can't always, unless they put in the title of their stream, Sombra competitive mode or something. I don't know who they're playing. Well, now that's not going to be a problem anymore. I can go in and look for people playing that hero or maybe another hero I want to get better with that I don't know a lot about. So I thought that was kind of neat that you could search by hero. Also in Hearthstone, I think it's a very similar type of thing because in Hearthstone you can play as different, you know, heroes in Hearthstone, and it's a very similar thing. I guess Hearthstone will also let you go by game mode, player rank, and number of wins. So you can actually find where are the super pro Hearthstone people, or in my case, where are the baddies? Does Hearthstone let you see like who the biggest loser is currently streaming? Because that would probably be me if I ever did Hearthstone. All right. Anyhow, there you go. Well, before we were broadcasting our games, we were taking them over to friends' houses, playing cartridges, or maybe even the age of CDs. And we're going to take a step back into the classic game of the week. Darkstalker is going to open the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you little brat, come over here.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn and use this light gun.
Go play this game. Dark Sakura, what is the classic game of the week?
The House of the Dead. Which all I keep thinking of is the House of the Dead 2. We're meeting G over there.
I just think
bad
of the typing of the
voice
dead.
Acting.
But that's fine.
Well, I couldn't do typing of the dead before I do House of the Dead. Although I think I've done typing of the dead.
You probably did another episode, yeah.
Anyway, House of the Dead is a first-person light gun game that was released by Sega in September 13th, 1996. And then that was in Japan, and internationally, March 4th, 1997. We had one at one of the arcades I worked at, briefly. But basically, you use your light gun or mouse, in the PC version, to shoot at zombies and monsters and things like that. And your life is set by a series of torches, and whenever you get hit or you shoot a hostage, you lose a torch, and then when all of your torches are gone, you die. You get first aid packs during the game. They're either held by hostages or they're just in objects like, oh, look at that little rock. Oh, there's a first aid kit in the rock. It's great. So yeah, it's like that. And you have different ways that you can act or not act, like whether or not you save certain hostages or let some people die or go.
I'm playing a game.
Uh-oh.
Oh, does it have talking?
Yeah, this video has talking.
Fuck these videos that have talking. Fuck. Look for House of the Dead long play.
I'll see what I can find, yeah.
I'm sorry, because I just listened to like the first few minutes of it. I was like, oh, this is great.
Well, yeah, I didn't have it in the first like minute and a half.
Motherfucker.
Here's something that we don't have that would be awesome with VR nowadays, is I want like VR versions of these games.
No.
Because they're light gun games.
No.
I found one.
Okay, good. Thank you. Anyway, you were playing as an agent named G. Ooh. And Thomas Rogan to go save people because of reasons. Basically, they're going there to see if they can find out what's going on for this biochemist who apparently is going crazy because he's obsessed with life and death. And that's the story there. It had a lot of craziness go on, like fighting this pyrotechnic creature, and which ends up like killing the guy that made it and everything, and then you basically have to go rescue Sophie, who is someone who is called she's a Thomas Rogan's fiance, Sophie Richards. Like, where do they come up with some of these names? But like, spoiler, you get an alternate ending where she becomes a zombie. And then you also can leave the house without her, so I guess. But for all the versions that came out, of course it was that era of Sega where we were getting good Saturn games, hopefully. So it came out on the Saturn, and it came out on the PC. And this game was actually considered so obscene in Indianapolis, where they were trying to ban certain video games, violent video games. They tried to open a case about this, saying that it was not protected under the First Amendment because of its obscenity. But basically, the ban on the game was considered unconstitutional. And the quote from Judge Posner, who was in charge of the case: "The most violent game in the record, The House of the Dead, depicts zombies being killed flamboyantly with much severing of limbs and effusion of blood." I love
it. They're zombies!
I love the words of this. "But so stylized and patently fictitious is the cartoon-like depiction that no one would suppose it obscene in a sense in which a photograph of a person being decapitated might be seen as obscene. It will not turn anyone's stomach."
And I noticed this video has, like, the blood color changed to green as well.
Yeah. So, at any rate, there were those other ports. We had the Sega Saturn version in 1998 and the Windows PC CD version by Sega. They were kind of rushed and not great, but they weren't bad. They're still fun to play. And actually, you can run the arcade version now on the Model 2 emulator. The Sega Saturn version had a remix soundtrack. It's just a really good game. And of course, later on, wasn't there like a movie?
Unfortunately.
Wasn't it a Rob Zombie movie?
Uwe Boll.
No, Uwe Boll.
No. Oh, that was House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yes.
Whatever.
Not based on a game.
Whatever. So it had a bunch of suck that came out as a result. But House of the Dead 2 is a great game, too.
But then it had Typing of the Dead, which was fucking awesome.
So yes, it was.
Everything works out in the
and
end.
And we have an OLR pack.
Yes, that's right. Good plug.
We need to do a new one.
We need to, or update it or something. There
you
is.
Know what you know it should be
it's
called?
On the, just so you know, it's on the Steam Marketplace, on the Typing of the Dead on the Steam. We did it for episode 600, so it was a while ago.
It's time for a new one.
But it was, yeah, I think update it for episode 700.
I think it should, like, be the naughty phrases version. Not, like, this cuss or anything, but, like, you pooted.
All right.
Or, like, I like big butts and I cannot lie or something.
Well, you can make it, Dark Saga.
Do you want me to make it? It'll just be like, Rob made me do this.
There, all work and no play make Dark Saga dull. All right. Anyway, we're going to take a break here. Classic game of the week, of course, once again, The House of the Dead. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, there is more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including several emails this week. Y'all made up for not sending any the past couple weeks. We're also going to talk about some other updates, new PlayStation 4 firmware, so we're going to talk about that. And we got a Konami story, but maybe this one will be a little bit different for a change. We'll get to all that when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 697 of our show, already in progress, talking a little bit about that eclipse tomorrow, and unfortunately, I don't get to see it, because I have daytime work commitments. Dark Soccer, you mentioned when we were doing our call with Bobby tonight, you have a little time off work to go see the eclipse, right? Because we get to see, we're in like, what did they say, 60%, 80%? We're not going to see it all. We're not in that part of the country.
It's supposed to show up for us like at 10 something in the morning.
Okay.
Right,
in the middle of my class.
Well, and I normally start my shift like around 10:30. So I put in for like 45 minutes so that I could enjoy the view.
It is a historical moment of sorts, I suppose.
Get to work, get coffee, do my job, and then go to the doctor.
Go shopping for plants.
A total eclipse of the sun.
I really wish more than anything I was going to be on that boat where Bonnie Tyler is going to sing Total Eclipse of the Heart during the eclipse. Because, like, look, I don't want to get too much into the fuckery of what's going on in the world right now. Because you all have a TV or an internet. You see, like, all this, like, crazy shit going on. But, like, when I saw that story on Twitter come through where it's like, Bonnie Tyler is going to sing Total Eclipse of the Heart during the eclipse, I literally had that moment of, at least something somewhere is the way it is meant to be. You know what I mean? Like, it's the only good news I read all fucking week. Loki, are you doing anything for the eclipse stuff tomorrow?
I may look at it. I don't have any glasses to see it. I mean,
don't look at it directly then.
That means Loki is doing low-key observation.
Get out.
No, I'll just stare at the sun anyways because I don't give a fuck. I'll wear sunglasses. I'll wear two pairs of sunglasses.
It's not going to be enough.
You're gonna go blind. You'll shoot your eye out.
I'm actually
use your phone. That's what Jamie was suggesting.
Yeah, you can use your phone. You just can't use like an actual legit viewfinder because it'll still magnify and be direct sunlight. But I'm considering getting like I was trying to look for welding goggles and everywhere except for Harbor Freight was sold out. But even Harbor Freight wanted like $30 for welding mask, and I don't need a welding mask.
I was just checking online to see where some. I'm sure like the stores around here, probably like department stores and stuff.
Everybody's sold out. Everybody's got a clip.
They're pieces of paper with like shit on. I mean, come on.
And they probably cost 10 cents to make, and they're selling them for $5. America!
No, this is capitalism.
Anyway, yes, I'm with Tiger Claw. I think NASA.gov will broadcast the eclipse. I'll just let the professionals handle it, and I'll watch on the telly. On my 4K monitor. I'll watch this eclipse in 4K when I get home. There you go. I'll watch the highlight reel. All right. Anyhow, we got to get into some other gaming news. We're going to do some rapid fire news. Loki.
All right. So there's a game that was on Kickstarter, finally made it out to early access on Steam. And I think it's out now. I think it's out of early access. But We Happy Few, it's a game that they kind of teased also during the Xbox conference. And I think even the PlayStation conference during E3. Well, it is going to be coming out now next year in 2018, being published by Gearbox. On April 13th is when you can expect We Happy Few. And for those not familiar with it, it is kind of this weird, almost like a Bioshock type game set in the like the 60s in this town where everyone's taking like these, I want to say they're called like Joy. It's like a drug to make them forget some tragic thing that happened. And apparently you're a person that's not taking Joy and they're out to murder you because you're off your medication and
fun.
So it's like kind of a survival game, but like it's very, very creepy and British. So check it out. That's coming out next year. Of course, you know, the PC version, I think, is out now, at least in early access. So you can check it out now. I have it, still haven't played it, but. So one of the games that's, you know, they've been showing off that I'm just not getting into is this Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. And one of the problems with Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite was also that some of the player models were a little weird looking based on the last trailer. So like one of those characters, of course, was the model for Chun-Li. And it was just that the trailer before last was just all jacked up looking. Like, it's like, what the fuck did you do to her face? Like, it's just all wrong. So everyone's like, oh, is this gonna be like a fucking, you know, Mass Effect Andromeda situation where it's just all fucked up and rushed? Thankfully there has been a new trailer to come out and it looks like they have corrected the issue and fixed the model. So
wait, Capcom's listening to feedback.
I know, it's crazy.
Now is the time to tweet them. Mega Man.
So, and then, of course, I guess Dante was another one that they had kind of fixed as well. So, Capcom doing plastic surgery on your video game favorite, you know.
On all your faves.
Favorite heroes, yes.
All right. This next story came from our Discord. ActDev submitted this on Discord, and you can submit stories throughout the week, too, over at our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. Apparently, this is something that happened in Mexico, where it's where ActDev is from. And did you know Office Depot apparently like gives away video games and stuff? I didn't realize this. I think what it is that these cards that had Overwatch codes on them were meant for new computers. I think that's what it was. And Office Depot certainly sells computers, but I just usually
they sell office computers that probably can't. Well, Overwatch doesn't take that much, I think.
Yeah. Well, anyway, apparently there was some weird type of thing happening where, for a little bit anyway, Office Depot actually was selling with the purchase of any HP ink cartridge, which went as low as $6, you actually got a full game code of Overwatch from HP, Hewlett Packard, and Office Depot. And
I can't play this on this printer.
Well, apparently people like totally took advantage of that system and got like 20 game keys. There's a picture on Reddit of just like a bag full of keys, and ActDef confessed when he submitted this on Discord that I may have gotten a copy this way. So Some people taking advantage of a little maybe unintended loophole there, courtesy of Hewlett-Packard and Office Depot. So there you go. It does note that the original promotion was supposed to be if you bought any computer or printer. So it wasn't supposed to be like an HP cartridge. It was supposed to be a fucking HP computer. You got it. Whoops-a-daisy. All right. Well, enjoy. You know what? You know what, though? As much as you might be going, oh, my God, all this free. You know what? Blizzard will still be selling loot boxes. They still got ways to make money. So don't cry for them too much. All right. Meanwhile, it could be that Night Trap will be coming out to the Switch. That's right. And this was all through Twitter because there was a Twitter sent to Screamin' Villains.
But think of the children.
I know. Asking, how about a Nintendo Switch physical version? And the response is, I'd love to get it on Switch and really want to, but they declined. To which response, please DM me an email address. Someone will contact you. And that was somebody, I guess, from inside Nintendo or something that wanted to do that. So it could be that Night Trap will come out on the Switch after all, thanks to, I guess, a misconnection on Twitter or something like that. But I'm going to say something that's not going to make me popular with some people, and that's okay. I can handle it. Night Trap is really fucking overrated. Like, I don't know why all of a sudden this game is back in a bit. Well, I do. It's the 25th anniversary. But I just... I think it's okay if it doesn't come out on the Switch. It's all right. I'll live my life.
Think about this. Think about the possibilities here. Mm. As we were talking about earlier, yes. The showgirls and the really shitty drawn MS Paint, you know, bras and panties and stuff.
Oh, God. Here we go.
What if you tap your amiibo on there and you have really shitty drawn, you know, Mario and, you know, Inklings and Zelda. You could have the fucking Master Sword in that game drawn in all its MS Paint glory thanks to Nintendo Switch. Can't do that on any fucking other console. I'll tell you what.
Well, Loki, I got one thing to say about that. Game of the year!
Sold! I'm buying 10.
Sold! I'm going to Office Depot to get Night Trap on Switch. Jamie, what do you have for us tonight?
Just the sadness that I realized that there was a sequel to Showgirls about Penny.
Yes, but she completely funded that herself. And I know this because that actress... I thought you were there that year. Weren't you there the year that Penny... was at the annual Showgirls screening in the Castro, and she was pushing the sequel because she like financed it, starred in it, produced it, because when you're her, that's like the one famous thing you ever did was be in Showgirls, so she has to milk it for all it's worth.
But did she do any pool thrashing? Because that's really, that's going to be the decider.
I must confess, as I've seen the original Showgirls movie like 50 times, and many of those with Jamie, by the way. I have never bothered to watch Pennies from Heaven.
Apparently, parts of the movie parodies the original. And it's actually, some people say it's actually a decent movie.
It could be full-on Jaws at that point.
I'll watch anyway. It. I'm seeing in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Slidekick says, how have we not had a Showgirls 2 party?
Anyway, you don't know shit.
It's a reason. Okay, now, Slidekick, going to a Facebook post that nobody else has seen besides you and I, and maybe some other mutual friends of ours. Now we have a reason for the Hello Kitty ice cream cake. Pennies from Heaven and Hello Kitty ice cream cake. Game Buoy cross OLR. We're going to make it happen. All right.
Anyway, is it time for my news? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so there are going to be KOF stuff happening. We like King of Fighters. King of Fighters 14. Wait, 14 already came out, didn't it?
Yeah.
Apparently there's going to be some updates, and then there's talk about King of Fighters 15 on the horizon.
The series that would never die.
Dude, I like King of Fighters. Well, I remember when the first one came out, I was like, oh my god, it actually is Fatal Fury characters and it doesn't suck. Also, Discord. I now have a new bit of like for Discord. You know why? You know?
You finally joined the VOG Network Discord?
No, I haven't, actually.
Shade button.
Girl. Because they are banning Nazis. I'm not going to call them the fucking alt-right. I'm going to fucking call them Nazis. They're getting banned. No longer supported.
Just remember, they're Nazis the alt-right. They're Nazi the alt-right.
All right. That's fine.
They're terrible people.
Yes.
They suck at being humans.
Yes.
They should not exist. Mm-hmm. They should... You remember that something hard and sandpapery?
Yes.
They should take that thing, grind it up, put it in liquid nitrogen, and shove it down their throats.
So anyway, Discord.
Yes.
Yes. Let's, on the happier thing, Discord has been great for Pokemon Go rating. Sometimes.
And Discord
But it's
has
not Discord's
told,
fault when it's not. It's the people.
And Discord has said, fuck you. We're not hosting you. Piss off.
Right, because, yes, there is freedom of speech in the Constitution. However,
freedom of speech is not freedom from consequence.
And Discord is a privately owned company and can do whatever
they
want.
On top of that, the freedom of speech only has to deal with government retaliation for things said about the government.
The freedom of speech is what allows me to say President Trump is a douche. It allows me to say that, and I will not get arrested for saying that. Thank you, our servicemen and women who protect that right for me to be able to do that. However, if you decide that, wow, Rob Roberts, he's kind of a dick, and I don't want to work with him because he just called President Trump a douche. If you want to do that, you have the right.
That has nothing to do with freedom of speech.
Yeah, the Constitution says nothing about that.
That is consequence.
But I don't get arrested for saying
and
that.
And just because you are suffering the consequences doesn't mean people are fucking oppressing you.
All right.
Mom. Yeah.
Kaishudo in chat says, what's a Discord? It is a... It's kind of a...
It's what I feel right now.
It's what you feel in your heart. It's a chat app that's gained a lot of steam, I feel like, in the past like 6 months because it is... It's if you know of Slack... Well, I guess, honestly, the easiest way for me to say it, it's a modern-day IRC, which I know is ironic because our chat room that you guys are using right now is in IRC, but there's a reason why...
That's old-timey IRC.
Yeah, I know. There's, well, A, we're all old. Everybody behind Vogue Network's pushing 40 in one way or another. So there's that, and, you know, just the fact that, you know, IRC works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That whole sort of thing. But Discord, you were explaining it because it is kind of a newer version of that, a modern version of that. But it has integrated voice chat. And the thing that I really like about it is that it's on the web and it's on your mobile phone and it's same across both sides. And that includes the voice chat, which apparently soon is going to be video chat, which is going to be another big thing. So it's been huge for organizing raids in Pokemon Go. And another place where Discord is finding a lot of success right now, Nintendo games. Since Nintendo has kind of, you know, let's be real, they dropped the fucking ball on the Splatoon thing, and I don't think anybody is hardly using the official app. People are using Discord to arrange matches and then chat during said matches because, you know, you can switch to another app and not lose the Discord voice chat. So that's one place I think Discord's been gaining a lot. I think thanks to Pokemon Go, thanks to Nintendo, thanks to, you know, certain other gaming things, it's been gaining a lot in the gaming community, and you'll probably find out about it sooner rather than later. And again, I'm going to kind of say, if you're not on the Vogue Network Discord, what a perfect opportunity for you to check it out. And I think it is available in a web-based client, too. If you're like, I don't want to download,
yeah,
I don't want to do all that stuff, then I think they just rolled out a web-based thing, so you don't even have to do that. So you have options. There you go. All right, yeah, SJ100 Matt says, I'm a big fan of Slack, but Discord fits better with Vogue. Yeah, I like Slack too, but you know what's awesome about Discord? It's free. And Slack has a free version, but there's limitations. When I was ingressing a lot more, we use Slack for that, and it's limited. Like, once you get to 10,000 messages, which, believe it or not, you can hit that a lot sooner than you think, on your server, like, you start losing it. And we were having a lot of problems with space because people were uploading pictures, a lot of pictures, which, you know, you want to share pictures and all that stuff, right? But we were, like, filling up the Slack server, so it can be irritating. So... And Bobby Blackwolf says, I use Slack for work. I don't want to use Slack for my fun stuff, too. Well said. All right. Let's move on. Let's travel around the world and check out what is in stores being released this week. Loki.
All right. So we do have some stuff coming out this week. We've got starting off with Chroma Gun on PlayStation 4. Mages of Mistralia on PlayStation 4. Minecraft Story Mode on Nintendo Switch. The Escapist 2 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Uncharted Lost Legacy on PlayStation 4. White Day, A Labyrinth Named School on PC and PlayStation 4. And then a Lost Child on PlayStation 4 and Vita. And then finally, we've got, let's see, F1 2017 PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One. Madden NFL 18 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And let's see, Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm Legacy on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And last but not least, One Piece Unlimited World Red Deluxe Edition on PC and PlayStation 4. That is it.
Let's travel to Japan and check out some of the releases there. In Japan this week, a game called Shin Yomawari from Nipponichi is coming out this week. That's available in two editions in Japan. Also coming out this week from Compile Heart, Shin Jigen Game Neptune Veer Victory to Realize is out this week. That is also a PlayStation VR game, so you can check that out. And then there's a few other games, too. The Lost Child is out in Japan this week, as well as White Day, A Labyrinth Named School. Yes, sometimes school felt like a labyrinth to me. This game looks like it might be more like a horror game. Yeah, it's a first-person Korean survival horror considered by many to be the scariest game in history. Ooh, I did not. Do you know this game, Darksucker? I don't know this game. White Day, A Labyrinth Named School. Apparently, some cult classic first-person Korean horror game that's being remastered
it's
on PlayStation 4.
It's coming out here
4.
This week.
Oh, neat.
It was on my list.
Cool. All right. 4. Maybe that's something I'll have to ask my horror game fans about, see if that's something they know. Yeah, MXC says it first came out in 2001. So that's, okay, this is a very old game getting an update there. So that's neat. MXC says it's the remake coming to PS4 and PC. Well, that's cool. All right, the Vita still has releases in Japan. And this week we have Futagoza no Paradox, Starry Sky Autumn Stories, as well as The Lost Child is there as well. And Shin Yomawari is out on the Vita as well. On the Nintendo Switch, it has a release this week. Yes, it does. One Piece Unlimited World R Deluxe Edition from Bandai Namco is out this week. And kind of a big deal, Monster Hunter XX, the Nintendo Switch version, is out from Capcom on August the 25th, a day later. So check that out. Looking at the 3DS, nothing new on the 3DS this week. And that's probably because of Monster Hunter kind of monopolizing the Nintendo releases this week. All right, let's move on to the UK. Dark Sakura.
We have on the 21st, Thimbleweed Park for PlayStation 4. On the 23rd, Bleed for the Sony devices, being the PS4 Pro and the PS4. On the 24th, we have Bleed for the Xbox systems. Cook Serve Delicious 2 for PC. Path of Exile for Xbox One. Minecraft Story Mode for Switch. On the 25th, we have F1 2017 on a bunch of stuff and Madden NFL 18. Blah, 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 blah.
Nothing to get too excited about this week, Darcy? Okay, she's turned into the parents on the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special. All right, let's get to the mailbag and listen to your wah-wah-wahs. But we'd love to hear your wah-wah-wahs, so we're going to hear them now. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com is the place to send your emails. Oh, but before we get to emails, I have a couple quick things I need to say.
Yes.
So, I got an email that we're not going to read tonight because I think it was a personal email. I'm not sure it was meant for air.
But thank you.
But thank you for that email. Yes, I actually responded personally to that person and said what I want to say. However, that email made me realize because they said I tried to contact you through the website. And I was like, what do you mean you tried to? Wait a minute. And I was like, it's not Vogue Network. That one works fine. Oh, shit. It's the Orange Lounge Radio site. And I went on. I looked. Oh, my God. The contact us form on the Orange Lounge Radio website was sending everything to mailbag, the old address. So for how long has it been since we switched? Like 2 years ago?
How long has it been since we updated the website?
Yeah. Well, that's another issue. And
how many emails did we miss?
again, I would really love to update the website, but that's time and money that I don't have. So I'm looking at Dark Soccer going, please. So hopefully that's something that can be worked on. But anyway, besides that, so yeah. We had stuff going back because there is a log in there. We had like at least over the past year, there's like 20 things we missed. So I just want to give a big shit. I'm sorry. Mea culpa. Like, sorry, you guys. I did not mean to overlook all those things that you guys are submitting through the website. It was an honest mistake. And I felt really fucking stupid when I saw that. But it took this long for somebody to tell me about it. So I guess you weren't that upset that we weren't reading your emails that you submitted on the website, or you figured it out and just sent them to participate@orangelaundry.com. For what it's worth, I fixed the website, so if you do do that in the future, it'll be fine.
You said doo-doo.
However, I would just encourage you to use your favorite emailing application, such as Gmail, Yahoo, whatever it is you use, and just email participate@orangeloungeradio.com. So there it is. Now, back to your regularly scheduled emails.
Oh, balls, where am I?
We had like 4 emails tonight.
God damn it.
Yes, make her work.
No, I have throat problems. Hello, LR. What?
I was going to make a joke, and then I said, no, don't be crass. Keep it classy here at OLR. I'm keeping it classy. Read the email. Please.
Girl. I realize that I'm being at least as predictable as a poorly written CBS primetime procedural, but when you mentioned the Xbox Live Creators Collection last week, certainly you knew that, like clockwork, an email from YYR would show up.
Hi, YYR!
He's also the only one who does Hello, LR. When you mentioned it on the last show, it came across like an announcement for something coming soon. Actually, the program has already launched! Exclamation point.
Even. I actually didn't realize that. That's neat.
You can browse and buy Creators Collection games on your Xbox One right now. In fact, he uses double spaces. I just realized that.
Are you okay?
Well, no, it's just they're not required anymore for electronic thing. It's a leftover from typewriting, so it makes me think the YYR might have taken typewriting in high school.
And that will be the email we'll get next week.
Yes.
Did Mavis
you
Beacon,
can tell.
Did Mavis Beacon teach you how to type?
You can tell. There are tells. In fact, the only reason I'm not in the process of releasing one at this very moment is because, as you're reading this, I'm on a very large boat sailing in the general direction of Alaska. Is that bad timing or
are
what?
You on that fucking cruise where Bonnie Tyler's going to sing? Because if so, I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous.
You will, however, see a couple of my titles up there very soon. The first two will be Falling Plus and Pixel Poops. Yes, you will soon be able to experience Pixel Poops in stunning 4K.
Yes.
Or something like that. The game simulates a resolution of about 12 by nothing anyway. Even better, I plan to release it such that you can play it for free and pay 99 cents only if you want to, which seems to be an option in the store.
99 cents every time you have to go to Taco Bell. I mean, taco restaurant.
Whatever he called it in the game, yeah.
Could call it Toxic Hell.
Burrito horn.
But I didn't. That's
burrito. I like it. Burrito horn.
I really like, though, that it allows you to do this where it's like you get it for free but pay if you want.
Chimichanga cowbell. That's
moving on. Oh, and Bobby Blackwolf says Bonnie Tyler's cruise is on the East Coast, so YYR lives to see another day. However, if he is on the boat tomorrow, that means he's going to be out there when the eclipse happens. That's pretty fucking rad. So. Pictures, or it didn't happen. Sorry, am I boring you, Darkstalker?
No, I got 4 hours of sleep last night.
I understand. All right, moving
on. It was terrible because I had to listen to Dan snore the whole time.
I don't know what that's like.
Mm-hmm. I just punch him and he stops for like 5 seconds. One of the really cool things about the Creators Collection is that you can use many different popular frameworks to produce your games, such as Monogame, the free and open source version of XNA, the popular Unity, and several others.
Didn't hear you say ZZT, so I don't know.
Seriously, people, check it out. That means you too, Loki, eventually.
As soon as my brain decides to cooperate with whatever other part of my brain is saying, God damn it, program something, then, yeah, we'll be on board. But apparently I have a brain separation where it's like, no, I want to watch YouTube. And that's just not happening. It's like my wife is in my brain.
You may continue.
Are you sure?
I think so. Loki is not allowed to interrupt you.
Now you did it.
Loki is not allowed to interrupt you. I can do it whenever I want.
Bitch.
Loki is not allowed to interrupt you until he programs something. For every line of code, he may interrupt. All right, anyway.
All right.
Quiet. All right, go ahead.
I'll end with two quick things. One, if you enjoyed Sonic 3 and Knuckles back in the day, and yet are on the fence about buying Sonic Mania, you seriously should just buy it. It's essentially the direct sequel to Sonic 3 and Knuckles. I'm not going to say, if you like Sonic on Genesis, you will love Mania, but the 3 numbered Sonic games on Genesis all played a little bit differently, and everyone has their favorites. But if you liked Sonic 3 and Knuckles, you will love Mania. That I can say with certainty. Drop the $20, put on your red shoes, and get running.
Agree.
Thing number two, and that is for Rob. If they have internet where you're... Oh. Well, thing number two, and that is... I don't know if I should read this part.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Is it does it have to do with last week's intro?
Yeah.
Go ahead. It's fine. I can handle it.
Okay. Thing number two, and this is for Rob. If they have internet where your mom is, I can personally guarantee that she loved the intro. I did too. And I hope to see your smile in New York area at some point next year. Take your time.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Hugs, Aaron YYR. With a big legal disclaimer at the end.
He's sent from a work address.
I ain't reading that.
Sent from a work address.
What are you doing emailing people from work, dude?
Come on, Noel Gust in chat says, Dark Sakura's sass meter is going up and up. Well, she wants to finish her damn emails so she can get back
right?
to Facebook or whatever's alt-tabbed on.
Seriously. You know what's great about being a woman right now? I can put the mic on my boobs and I don't have to use my hands.
I can do that too. Oh, wait, I shouldn't brag about that.
Remember that time I put a beer in my shirt and it exploded in my face? That was it, Amanda.
Apparently, we're all sharing stories we shouldn't be tonight on OLR.
That was not. Funny because I was really drunk. It was at Amanda's, Amanda and Tom's wedding. Anyway, I'm just feeling like reminiscing.
Next email.
I was trying to. Fuck. I should have had this ready for your return, but last month or so, Level 5 released a new Professor Layton game for mobile. Its $16 price point would be irresistible for a 3DS game. I do not currently have a 3DS, but I've yet to pick it up myself. I did, however, re-download their last title, Layton Brothers Mysterious Room. It's been over 4 years since I played that on my 4th-gen iPod Touch, and so I had fortunately forgotten most of the plot points. It plays more like a Phoenix Wright game than a Layton game. A Professor Layton game, which isn't really that bad a thing. Each of the cases, save for Case Zero, which serves only to set the scene of the game, involves examining a reconstruction of a murder scene to find clues, used to find inconsistencies in suspect statements. All in all, a pretty engaging title lasting about 10 hours. I have seen footage of Layton's mysterious journey, which has full animation and voice acting, which Mystery Room does not. I'd give Room around 4 out of 5, and we'll probably purchase Journey sooner rather than later. Robert M. P.S. As a hopelessly geeky pun, how did Bob Marley mod his computer games? He edited the INI file. Okay.
Boy, you're all a bunch of comics tonight here at OLR, aren't you? Anyway, thank you for that brief review.
We have another one from YYR. Do, 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 do. Hello, LR, again. Thank you, again. I listened to the end of last week's show after sending my email and then heard you mention Tempest 4000, so here's another one. You may recall a Jeff Minter game that came out for Vita called TXK. Yes, I have it. It's so good. It was basically a new Tempest. Then you may recall that he was working on a PS4 and VR versions of TXK, and that Atari sent Jeff a cease and desist letter before it could be re-released. There's strong evidence, including recent tweets from Minter himself, to suggest that Tempest 4000 is just a rebranded TXK.
So they kissed and made up.
Perhaps with some slight modifications. Not that this is bad news. TXK is fantastic. Yes, it is. So if you want to know how the new Tempest is going to look, it's going to play, etc., then just play TXK. And when it comes out, you should buy it. Just saying. Okay, that's it for me this week, I promise. Have a great week, Aaron YYR.
If I can find a duster for my Vita, I will.
You know, we've been playing it on our PSTV.
Oh, right, because you have that whole thing, sure.
Yeah, so
I have that somewhere.
Yeah, remember those things?
I don't know where it is, but...
It looks really good on our TV. So, last... Email. Good evening, OLR. I hope you three are doing well. Welcome back. I've been missed you guys.
What was the voice change all of a sudden? Like all of a sudden you became like the operator when I call the 800 thing. Hello, and thank you for emailing OLR. To reach an operator, press 0. To proceed
for reasons.
All right.
Rab. Okay. About 2 months ago, I had sent an email to you guys regarding the Xbox One X reveal at E3. I stated that I'm better off building a PC than getting the console. Well, I wound up pre-ordering the Scorpio edition of the Xbox One X.
Well, congrats on getting it.
I guess it's more of a case of I want to latest and greatest. I'm reading it verbatim.
That's fine.
However, I did rebuild my PC, and that's pretty damn nice as well. Guess you can say I'm future-proofing everything in this mofo. I watched the Xbox Game Cons conference earlier today, and it was pretty much a cringe fest, filled with crappy jokes, awkward-ass singing, trailers we've all seen before, and the annoying world premiere announcement, and so forth. Sitting through all of that just to hear a 5-minute pre-order announcement for the X is just baffling. Lastly, I wound up getting a Res Plus, a Nintendo clone with an HDMI output. I wound up returning it back to Amazon due to game incompatibility, no support for flash carts, and inaccurate sound. Avoid.
That's too bad.
Hope you guys are doing well. Take care. Tristan.
Thank you for the email. I didn't think the event was that terrible, but I also only watched 15 minutes of it. And when I started to see trailers that they've already shown us, I turned it off. I was like, I've seen enough of this to get my mix pot from Mixer.
My favorite, though, unlike, you know, it was world exclusive trailer. It's like an advertisement for the Xbox One X. It's like, who cares? This is stupid.
I get you.
World exclusive trailer. It's like, okay.
Well, it is interesting. So our emailer here has had a change of heart, had previously decided I'm going to go PC route. But despite the fact I hated that conference, I was tempted to buy an Xbox One X anyway. So Microsoft didn't really use with you, sir. But anyway, all that aside, it did remind me of something we didn't really bring up during the opening segment tonight that I kind of wanted to address. And that was the whole, who is the Xbox One X really for? Because I know Loki and I are sitting here going, well, you know, we're just more into the PC side of things. Why do we need an Xbox One X? But, you know, we're also geeks who build computers and have top-of-the-line computers. Not everybody has that.
Right,
so
and it's also expensive, yeah.
Yeah, is there a large enough audience for people that are like, I don't need a PC. I don't want
a PC
at home.
Or you don't want to spend money on a PC.
But I want to play Madden in 4K. Is that, or Forza, or whatever. Is that audience going to be there?
Yeah, I think there'll be some people there. I don't think it's going to be as big right now because look at the PlayStation 4 Pro. I mean, I don't think there's really been a lot of, like, you have the Xbox One S that's out there now, and you can buy that if you don't have a 4K television or something. Then you don't really need that cutting-edge technology. And honestly, like, I think the differences between the 4K presentation and what they have available, it's a great system, but I don't really need that right now because I have nothing to display it on. Like, my monitor on my laptop is 1080. That's all I'm going to get out of that. My TV's 1080. Yeah, I don't need to buy all this extra horsepower to pump out a little extra detail. It's just not worth it. Like, that's why I'm not getting a Pro. Pro, for me, it would be good for, like, VR, but I don't really want to sync any more in the PlayStation VR because I'm cautious that they're just going to release a new version of it. Like in probably years' time, so I don't know.
All right. Well, thank you for the email nonetheless, and let us know what you think of the Xbox One X once you get your hands on it, since you got one of these little Project Scorpio ones that are already gone. So, all right. Well, I guess that's good for Microsoft that they went that fast, so there clearly is an audience for this, so we'll see. We'll see what develops. All right. Thank you for the emails. Again, if you want to email us, participate at orangelaundry.com. And now the website's fixed, too, after all these years. So participate at orangelaundry.com. Let's get to some more news stories so we can get to Skype calls in just a little bit. 5 stories, then Skype calls. Orange Lounge Radio on Skype, all one word. But first, Loki.
All right. So Kojima. So he was talking about how Konami kind of, you know, when he was working for Konami, back before they decided to be...
Back in my day.
Super assholes about everything. They decided that they would let him work on kind of whatever he wanted to work on. So, you know, it was kind of freeing that he was able to work on different projects, mainly, you know, Metal Gear Solid, you know, but of course, you know, other games that he worked on as well. Why is this page not working? Okay, here we go. But they were saying, you know, whenever he would pitch a plan or a budget, they would tell him, yeah, it's okay. I guess it's just at some point they decided that it wasn't okay, and then that's when all this shit went.
New management or something?
New management, yeah. So, yeah, it was great. He said that, due to the games getting bigger, more systems, more genres and barriers, many young recruits out of college are thrown into a line and continue to make small background objects or explosions for 3 to 5 years. So that it was kind of harder to kind of work your way up to, I guess, project management and stuff like that. There is more and more staff members who only affect extremely small parts of games while not being able to see the product in its entirety. And, basically saying that, he started on a small team of only 5. And he had, he basically says everyone had to be able to do everything. You couldn't say, well, my specialty is such and such thing. You had to actually study, work hard, only sleeping 3 hours each day, that kind of mentality. So that's kind of, he attributes that to his experience. So pretty cool interview. I don't know. It's neat. It kind of sucks that, it sounds like that the company he was working for originally was kind of, more freeing, but then I guess that kind of changed, and that's why he's out. But at least he's on his own now, working with Sony and on a new game that looks fucking weird that we have no idea about. And hopefully we'll get a new trailer for this year.
Boy, it sounds like they're sure trying to kind of make nice and mend some bridges, huh? Because I don't know. It's interesting. Interesting little positivity for Konami once in the news this week. So I guess that's good. And they need to, how ironic, they need a Kojima to do it. All right. Well, anyhow, let's move on to PlayStation 4 updates, because there is a brand new PlayStation 4 update on the way for the firmware. So this is something that everybody's going to get. It's PlayStation 4 firmware 5.0. And one of the big features for PlayStation firmware 5.0, PlayStation 4 Plus owners will now be able to stream on Twitch 1080p 60 frames a second. So and that's only on the Pro, which I guess I'm assuming just the other bandwidth wasn't, or the other chips weren't able to handle it on the PlayStation 4 regular, so it's kind of limited to 720, but that'll be at 30 frames. But this will be really cool that it can do this superpower for those that like to stream from their PlayStation 4. I kind of wish they would improve the streaming software a little bit, but whatever, I guess we'll take what we get. Also, there's just some other minor quality of life improvements. You can switch off notifications when watching a movie or TV show, finally. And now the quick menu will be updated so you can see some notifications in there as well. There's also going to be a robust family management system allowing for multiple adult users and different permissions for the child accounts. And this is also good. If you are using VR, you are going to get messages while you're broadcasting in VR mode. I think that was something Bobby Blackwell was looking for.
You could broadcast in VR mode.
Oh, yeah, you can. But now you couldn't really see your messages or anything like that. But now you will actually be able to see the messages as they come in on PlayStation VR. So that's kind of neat, something they'll be doing. Also, you can bind broadcasts to communities that you own. So that way, when people go into your communities, they'll see if you're broadcasting or not. Like if you have a streaming community or something set up on PlayStation 4. I don't know how often those communities are really being used on PlayStation 4, but I guess cool that they're trying to link that all together. Maybe they're hoping streamers will try to sell their PlayStation communities harder if that feature is available in there. Also, if you're watching Blu-rays or DVDs in cinematic mode in VR, you will now get the 5.1 and 7.1 surround sound if you're listening on your headphones. So that's pretty cool as well. It's not limited to just that, but those are some of the big updates coming to the next firmware, which I believe went into beta testing for select users already, and the rest of us will probably see it, September, October type of time frame.
Yeah, I had the laugh during the week. I saw a Twitter account sending out, we're doing a drawing for early access to the new firmware. I'm like, that's not how this works.
This is a beta. Oh, yeah, because I think you can invite a friend or something.
This is like a beta program. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. That's stupid.
Bobby in chat says, cheap plug, join the VOG network community on PS4. Yes, there is a VOG community on PS4, and you should join it so that when something useful for communities happens, we'll take advantage of it. We promise.
Bring back home.
Yeah, when PlayStation Home comes back. Now we miss it, huh? It used to be the butt of every joke.
It would be awesome in VR.
The PlayStation Home would be awesome in VR.
It would be. The closest thing they have to PlayStation Home in VR is probably What the fuck is that game called? I don't remember what it's called. I have it. It's a bar game where you play like different games in a bar, and you can like literally throw bottles at people or stuff like that. But it's multiplayer in VR.
Cool.
It's like, yeah.
A sports bar VR.
Sports bar VR, yes. That's the closest thing you're going to get the PlayStation Home.
Okay.
And I would love that. It'd be awesome.
All right. Darsakra, what do you have for us?
Some bullshit. So basically, Nestle, which is granted an asshole of a company because we know what they were doing with the water during the water crisis. But anyway, Nestle did a breakout themed advertisement and Atari filed a lawsuit. Basically, they had a bunch of people at a train station who were playing a video game similar to Breakout, except using the Kit Kat fingers instead of the colored bricks. And Atari said, basically, it's plain and blatant infringement that Nestle exploited, quote, the special place it holds amongst nostalgic baby boomers, Generation X, and even today's millennial and post-millennial gamers. And it was filed in the San Francisco court. The Nestle spokesperson replied that it was a UK TV advert in 2016, and that it no longer runs, and they're not planning on rerunning it, and that they will defend themselves. But then again, you know, Nestle already lost a suit with Cadbury for trying to when they tried to trademark the four finger bar design. So, whatever. Karma.
It's just interesting to me that this commercial is so fucking old, but that's just how slow the law moves.
It's a year old. That's not fucking old.
Yeah, but it's slow. How slow.
Like, if they
aimed
it,
campaigns don't last more than a year.
If they did the Kit Kat campaign with Breakout in 1976, maybe it would be relevant.
We need to sue Kit Kat for not bringing other flavors here to the U.S.
Right? Like, why can't we get the chocolatory flavors?
Arrest Kit Kat.
Why can't we get the chocolatory flavors? Those are amazing.
Right, or like even just like the green tea and the...
The sweet potato one that you can roast?
Yes.
Oh, so good. Anyway. The strawberry cheesecake.
I just don't understand. All right, moving on. A few more stories for you. Oh.
We need the sake flavor so much.
Orange Lounge Radio on Skype after a couple more stories. Loki.
Sorry, I'm horribly distracted by the fact that I see that Ultimate Epic Battle Simulator now has modding support. That's only going to be ridiculous.
Oh, boy.
I can't wait. Speaking of ridiculous, Takashi's Castle, or Takashi's Challenge, as I say, is available now on iOS and Android in Japan. So you may not have played Takashi's Challenge, which was a Famicom game.
Takeshi.
Whatever. I don't care. It was a game that came out back in 1986 for the Famicom. And now you can actually check it out on... Because I'm sure those games... that are meant for, you know, an old Famicom controller probably plays so fucking fantastic on a touch screen. But yeah, you can subject yourself to that. It's going to be available. I don't know if it's coming soon, but they added a new stage, America. They have also had 16x9 support. There's also, I guess, the Hantabo language certification test. I have no idea what the hell that's supposed to be about, but apparently you can share the results with your friends via social media. So, yeah, isn't this game, like, really fucking hard and annoying?
Yeah, Dark Tetsuya in chat at live.vognetwork.com says it's fucking ridiculous, basically.
But why would you play a fucking ridiculous game like this on a mobile device? I mean, like, honestly, like, it's like, that's like
it
playing...
It makes it harder.
It's like Super Meat Boy. On a mobile device. Like, why would you do that?
It makes it even harder.
It's stupid. It's just frustrating. And I get it. That's the kind of the gist of the game, but it's frustrating.
Yeah, I wouldn't download this game if you're not looking for punishment. That's the joke, basically. All right. Well, anyhow, one more story for you guys tonight. And this is a great note for us to end on before we get to calls. Talking about Twitch, another marathon that they have coming. Twitch has been nailing it with their marathons. They had the Bob Ross. They had Mr. Rogers, Power Rangers. Well, guess what's coming next? Starcade. I think we did address this on a previous episode that Starcade was going to be marathoned on Twitch. Well, now we have some of the details. So, Shout Factory has the channel, and I think they're trying to push, I think, the new version of
Starcade that is in development as well.
I'm
I
think down.
There's Blu-rays. I think Blu-rays are coming or something like that. Well, anyhow, on their Twitch channel starting August 28th at 2 p.m. Eastern, all 123 episodes digitized from the source tapes will be broadcast in a marathon. It's going to be awesome. And one of the hosts from Geek and Sundry, Erica Ishii, will introduce games and provide some context. I'm assuming that's because this show was on before many of you were born. So some of these games you may actually not know, especially some of the more obscure ones. Now, us old fucks that were old enough to remember this show when it was on TV, we probably don't need her, but, you know, that's fine. Obviously, something's got to break it up, the marathon, a little bit, so that's fine, fine. Have well, somebody kinda, explain it.
I don't even think that's necessary. You'll gain context by just watching multiple episodes. You'll see what that shit's about.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, they are saying that it is running to fuel demand for Shout Factory's upcoming Starcade reboot. Interesting. So check that out. Again, now look, I know I'm not a host on Geek and Sundry or any of those things, but I would be the best damn game show host ever, and I would host this show in a heartbeat. Just email me, and you can even use the website now to email me. It's fixed. So yes, I'll be waiting for your call, Shout Factory, because Starcade was such a good fucking show. I'm excited myself for this marathon. I'm actually a little sad. I'm only going to be able to watch a little bit of it because I fly out of town early in the morning on the 30th for Dragon Con. So there you go. Anyhow, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, millennials need information spoon fed to them, Loki. Millennials are killing critical thought.
Oh, you.
Oh, he's not serious. Put the pitchforks and torches down. Let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, I think one game I remember from the original airing was Dragon's Lair. What was the game with the giant robot head that would go, beware, I live? Is that Sinistar? That's Sinistar.
Yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
Sinistar.
Sinistar. That game was definitely on Starcade, because I remember seeing that for the first time on Starcade, and I thought, rad. Because it was the 80s. We said rad a lot more often. So there you go. Yes, and Bob Blackwolf also points out that the reruns were on G4 about 15 years ago. Well, that was the last time this was on TV. So, I mean, it's been a long time. If you think about it, Bobby Blackwolf, a 19-year-old listening to this show right now, your show or my show, a 19-year-old in college listening to this show right now was 4 when those reruns were on G4. Just process that thought for a minute, Bobby, and I'll leave you with that. Let's open up the phones at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype, if you want to give us a call and talk about anything. Or you just want to reminisce about old Starcade episodes. That's fine, too. I got a nice from Bobby in chat. Damn it, Rob, I dislike you. No, you don't. All right. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you'd like to give us a call and talk about anything tonight, including Starcade or any of this other stuff that we've talked about, Gamescom, Xbox, PlayStation stuff, whatever you want to talk about. Switch, we still have mystery Nintendo announcements coming, but I would set the bar at a reasonable expectation level. Yeah, don't, you know. I'm honest to God.
From what I saw, it's not even really announcements. I mean, it's sort of like the Treehouse Live stuff. So they're streaming Super Mario Odyssey, the new Metroid game.
Yeah, exactly. First 10 minutes of these games, those types of footage. Don't set your expectations too crazy. You might get, maybe there'll be a nice little treat in there.
They throw,
you know,
some announcements out.
Yeah, once in a while, there might be like, there's going to be a DLC, or a, sorry, not DLC, but a new eShop game is available right now. Surprise. You know, there might be a cute little thing like that. All right. Do we have any last-minute stories while we wait to see if anybody calls us tonight? Bobby got a lot of calls tonight, so maybe we won't, because sometimes that happens that way. Everybody called Bobby instead, but we'll see what happens.
A lot of people are watching Game of Chairs, Swords, you know.
Is it done tonight? Is it over?
No, it's only the 6th episode. Next week will be done.
But this episode, because I spoiled it for myself.
Uh-huh. Well, don't spoil it for the listeners.
No, I'm not, but...
Okay. So
you are going to be... You're going to be smad.
No, because I don't pay attention to this show.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the listeners who watch it. You're going to be smad.
Okay. All
right. You know what smad is?
So sad and mad at the same time.
Happy.
So...
No, sad. Yeah, sad and mad.
Film yourself one of those reaction videos. This is the time to
do
it.
You're
going to
be smappy.
Is that what I'm hearing? All right.
Hashtag boat sex.
Okay.
No.
No spoilers.
No, that didn't happen.
That doesn't happen yet. It isn't as me.
Yet.
All right. Anyhow, let's get to at least one call I think we have on the line here. Let's do it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Rob. This is Reginator.
Hey, Reginator. What's on your mind, buddy?
No, a whole lot. Not to be beat this into the ground, but I know it's been said in chat. Let me move my mic down. I know this has been said in chat a lot last week, but since I actually got you on Skype right now, I just want to verbally say I'm sorry about your loss. I know losing family is really, really tough. I believe it or not, I've been there myself. So, but
well, I really appreciate that. You know, and it's a little rough right now because one of my closest friends in the entire world is going through something that's a little too similar, and it's so hard right now. This is just like, I just want to take this entire summer and just fire it. Like, it's awful. Everything about this summer has been awful. So that's all I really have to say about that. I'm just hoping that Dragon Con and Labor Day in general and everything is just a nice big reset button on this fuck of a year. That's really all I have to say.
Yeah, believe me, I completely and utterly understand. So I've been there myself. So
yeah.
I would assume that you heard my call with Bobby earlier during the evening. Cheap plug for Bobby's show. Really great show. Airs live before Orange Lounge Radio on Sunday evenings. So.
Hey, you got to pay for that airtime. No, I'm kidding. No, Bobby's great, of course. We talk about him every week. He's fantastic. In all honesty, I only heard a little bit of it because that was right at the moment that one of my co-hosts arrived at the show. So we were talking a little bit about Roundtable Pizza and his frustrations. So I didn't hear the entire thing. No, it's fine. It happens. So you'll have to refresh my memory a little bit.
Well, I can't remember exactly everything that was said, truth be told, but the general highlights is GOG versus Steam, really, and why Bobby really doesn't use GOG so much as Steam.
Oh, because of the whole they don't have prepaid cards like Steam does, and his concerns about security, which I totally get.
Yeah. And of course, I kind of took a relatively minor pot shot at the fact that you had bought virtually every version of Mass Effect 3 known to man except for the cell phone version or the TI-83 version.
Is it ported there? I may have to pick that up. But I've also bought things on GOG. I was given Witcher 3 on VOG GOG because of VOG, wink nudge, I was given that on GOG, and so that kind of opened the door. But here's the thing, I actually really appreciated GOG when it was the classic games and stuff. Like when Sid Meier's Covert Action came out, I was fucking jazzed. I really wish they would somehow get the rights to the original Civilization. I would buy that. I want to stream that game so fucking bad. I want to buy that. But I guess it's just caught up in legal issues or whatever. So, I mean, there's things like I loved GOG when it was like all that stuff. Now, I don't get as into the newer games and stuff on GOG, but I don't dismiss it either. It's just it's a very crowded marketplace when it comes to online stores. And, GOG is just another place to keep your eye on for some deals.
Yeah. And admittedly, it took me a while to get onto GOG myself. Thanks to you, and you're constantly mentioning that Steam and their sales and their deals and all that. I initially started with Steam first, and the fact that they have prepaid cards for helped, and I didn't have a bank account for a while, so buying stuff on GOG was a problem. But that aside, the main purpose of my call was I was going to pose this question to you and everyone else as well. Mass Effect 3 aside, have you bought whatever game multiple times through whatever distributor and you know, why? You know, in my case, it's usually, you know, I get the Steam version for the achievements and what that, and then get the GOG version for digital extras, like soundtracks, what that.
So what games have you basically double-dipped on for extra features, I guess? Am I summarizing there?
Yeah, extra features, you know, trading cards, achievements, whatever.
I just bought, just recently, the most recent one, Pac-Man Championship Edition 2. I bought on Steam because I already had it on PlayStation 4. I bought it to, A, be able to stream it and easier. Because, yes, I can do it through the PS4, but I'm forced to use the PS4's, like, interface, which I like my interface where I get alerted to subscribers and follows. I like, so I can thank them. I like that interface better. So I like to stream PC for that reason. And yes, I will hook up the PS4 through my capture card. It's just a little bit one of those, like, I have them in two separate rooms. Long story short, it's easier said than done, but that'll probably happen eventually. But anyway, with that whole thing, I double dipped on that for that, and it was super cheap. Like, it was on sale. I don't know if it was in like a Humble Bundle or something, but I feel like I picked that up for a real nominal price, and I was just like, eh, whatever, I'm going to get it again. And that's, I think part of the reason why Steam has come up in the conversation a lot is because Steam is infamous for these sales where games will get so cheap that people aren't afraid to double dip because it's like, eh, it was a buck. You know, another one, VVVVV. I own that on like three different platforms. I have that on 3DS, PlayStation 4, and Steam. And part of the reason I'm encouraged to do it, because it's cheap. It's not a very expensive game. So, you know, Mass Effect 3 was one thing, but a lot of the other games I noticed I've double dipped with are cheaper games. I'm highly likely to do it with Sonic Mania as well, just because I would like to have the portability that comes with a Nintendo Switch. I don't know. What about you guys? Any double dipping on consoles or whatever of games that you want to call out, or PC, console, whatever?
Well, if like Grand Theft Auto 5, I have both on console and on PC, and
because you can mod it on PC, huh?
Not so much, but yeah, you can.
I've heard that one before. Skyrim is another big
Skyrim.
One for
that. Yeah, I have that on both. I've got like lots of systems for Skyrim, and then I don't Fallout 4 yet on both systems, but I don't know. I haven't played. I still have to go back and play that.
Anything for you, Darkstalker, that comes to mind? Something you've double dipped on? You'd have to go all the way back to like Symphony of the Night on Saturn and PlayStation, right?
Actually, no. Recently, I picked up Ultra Despair Girls for Steam as well, as already had it on PS TV.
And what was the motivation behind it? Just,
I would much rather play it on Steam.
Yeah, sometimes it's just about my PC versus my TV and the different rooms that they're in and all that. ActDef points out Overwatch on Xbox One and PC, and I'll get it on PS4 if I get the console. Yeah, me too. I have it on, well, not Xbox yet, but I probably will eventually. But I have it on PlayStation 4 and PC, and it's because it was on sale on PS4, and I finally decided there's people on PS4 I want to be able to play this game with. And that was a big part behind it. So, well, good question, Spazinator. What was the last game you double dipped on, if anything?
Well, before GOG implemented the whole GOG Connect thing, I did buy Oddworld Abe's Odyssey on GOG. Well, after the fact, that I got it on Steam, and I did the same with Duke Nukem 3D. The main reason why I got Oddworld Abe's Odyssey is because of the soundtrack and all the other extras that came with the GOG version, and the main reason why I got Duke Nukem 3D along with all the Duke Nukem games there is because they were dirt cheap, DRM-free, and plus they came with extras like ringtones and stuff like that. So I can't figure what the hell. 59 cents per game, normally $6. You know, even though, you know, poor POs like me can afford 59 cents per game. So
when they get that low, a lot of people want to jump on board. I want to get this one too in chat. Act Deft in chat says, I also have Rayman Legends on Wii U, Vita, Xbox One, and PC. LOL. Well, you never get to tease me about Mass Effect again, sir. But also, I should add to this. Something I played this week that I forgot to mention during the top of the show. There's a demo for Rayman Legends on the Switch. So there's another platform for you, Act Deft. You can now get it on the Switch. And actually, anybody with a Switch, it's worth just downloading the demo. It's a pretty robust demo, and it's free. Mm. So you can kind of, you know, check out if it's something you'd be into or not. So I think they gave that game away on the Xbox Gold or PlayStation Plus or something some time ago. So I think a lot of people kind of have it that way anyway. But it's worth checking out on Switch.
Now, the funny thing is, now that you mentioned the Rayman series, I've seen, virtually the entire series on, the various PC storefronts, with the exception of the very first game. I don't seem to see it either on Uplay or Steam or GOG or anything. Do you happen to know why? Is it like a licensing thing or compatibility thing or something like that?
No idea. I don't know what it's legal stuff. Who knows?
All right. Well, I'm probably going to let you go. I'm tying up your line as it is.
No worries.
Act Deft or Dungeon Buster or someone else will probably want to call in. So
we'll see.
All right. Well, have a nice night and thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Take care, buddy. Bye.
Yep, you too.
All right. We'll see if anybody else wants to sneak in here before we wrap it up. It is almost 9 o'clock, so I do want to wrap it up. So if you're thinking about it, you better do it now. Any other last minute stories we want to get to, Loki, before we close it?
There wasn't really anything.
Not a lot of other stuff.
Just there was. I saw there was an opinion piece as from Destructoid where they had talked to some insiders at Nintendo saying that with the state of affairs, the way things are going right now, because Iwata was kind of the one pushing the Rhythm Heaven series, that there's not going to be any more of those brought over from Japan, and that also the translation of Mother 3 is just not happening.
Ah, bitches.
That they are having issues. Like, last time they attempted to do it, I guess, they had stopped when they got to the Majipsies, I guess, is one. And it's something to do with like a trans character or something. They didn't know how to represent that without offending everybody.
Put a disclaimer. Put a disclaimer in the game that says it's like they do with the old racist cartoons. Put a disclaimer at the beginning, that says this was what it was at the time. It doesn't necessarily reflect how we feel now. That's one way to do it. Anyway, I want to make sure I grab this call because we have another call coming out on Skype. Oh, damn it. I just missed it. Caller, try one more time if you hear me. Let's see, looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Nintendo might try to take a wrecking ball to it, so be careful. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Good, that call's coming back in. Let me see if I can grab it this time. Green button. Here we go. Hi, you're on Orange Launch Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Def.
Hey, glad you made it in. What's up, buddy?
Well, I've been playing Overwatch and a lot of Lucio Ball. I want to ask you, how have you played Lucio Ball in competitive?
I did. Oh, no, not in competitive. I played enough Lucio Ball to get my box, and then I was kind of I didn't really play it again. I don't know. I mean, I think Lucio Ball's cool. Like, it's obviously got a very Rocket League sort of vibe to it, so I kind of like it for what it is, but I don't know if I liked it enough to do it competitive. Like, I can't even do regular Overwatch competitive because mouth breathers just take it too seriously. And it's like, I'm not good enough. Like, I don't want to get screamed at when I go into these matches and I'm not doing well. So I just like to do the fuck around matches where if you yell at somebody for, we need a healer, goddammit, we need a healer. When you're doing that in quick play, it's like, be the change you want to see in the world.
Well, I've been taking Lucio Ball seriously.
No, it's fine. And there's nothing wrong with that, Act Deft. Do what you enjoy. If you can handle it and you're having fun with it, fucking more power to you. I'm excited for you. How's it going for you?
You do you.
That's right. You do you. How's it going for you?
I'm diamond ranked. I've been doing really great. But the thing is, and talking about teammates not doing that well. And I know that not necessarily everyone knows how to play Lucio or knows how to play Lucio Ball even, or football. But it's kind of frustrating that people don't know the basics of of soccer. Like, it's, don't know if it's because, well, I'm Mexican. It's football, and we have it like, in, like ingrained in our system. But
that's right. And us Americans can't be fucking bothered, can we?
Yeah, it's
no, it's fine. It's fine. Drag us. We deserve it.
Like the two of the of our teammates going for the ball instead of just one. The goalie not being in their place.
Look, I don't
so
even,
many
look,
things.
I don't even fucking watch sports. And I knew that one. The goalie shouldn't leave. If you are the player that gets put in the little goalie box at the beginning of the match,
you stay in your damn
you
box.
You stay in the fucking box. Unless once in a while, like hockey, once in a while it is appropriate to pull the goalie. But I say as I'm like, I don't watch sports, but I know some of these things. But anyway, I know enough, okay? So when sometimes you pull the goalie, but there are very strategical reasons why you do that, and it's one of those things where, you know, the ball is in a very particular place where you're not going to fuck up by leaving the goal. Like, there are very particular reasons why you do it, and for most people, you may just want to stay near the goal. I also, by the way, most people know this, I was one of those soccer kids that played from the time I was like 5 years old or something. I played for like 5 years. And by the way, I was an excellent goalie. That's what I pretty much always played, was either goalie or goalkeeper.
Yeah, I also, in my youth, when I had at least somewhat good health, I also played goalie, so I know how to play goalie.
Yeah.
But it's kind of baffling to see people, like, trying to go for the ball when another teammate is there. Or having the two teammates, like, being goalie at the same time, it's like, dude, no, don't do that. It's confusing for both of you.
And you're seeing this in diamond rank matches where people don't know this.
Yeah, it's like, dude, how did you get diamond rank in the first place if you don't know how to play?
Here's the thing, though.
It's like, wow.
Here's what could make the world a better place. And I'll kind of wrap up on this. I think we're going to wrap up the show. Here's the how we could just all make the world a better place and make gaming culture better. Here's how we could just make gaming culture better. You know what? That's fine if you want to give that feedback to the other players that, hey, maybe the goalie should stay near the goal. But it's all about how you deliver that message. You don't get on the microphone and scream, you fucking noob, you fucking dipshit noob, you fucking goal fucking noob. Go to the fucking
goal. How would
goal,
one fuck,
fuck
the goal? Isn't it kind of big?
It's a hole.
You
so.
Don't... You don't,
that's a pretty big hole, though.
You don't do that on the microphone. You just say, hey, could you go, you know, since you were the player that was dropped in front of the goal, could you protect the goal? Because, you know, we'll probably get a point if you could do that. You know, there's just better ways to deliver messages than the way people do it sometimes in gaming culture. So that's all I'm going to say. Maybe I would play competitive Overwatch if people, I don't know, treated each other with some fucking basic human decency.
Well, at least in Xbox, I haven't tried it on PC. It's been nice. I don't get, like, too much or too many people, like, being aggressive or being, well, total assholes. Even on PC, the one time I tried it, I got a really good team. I got really good teammates that actually, even if I kind of messed up, they were like, oh, don't sweat it. Just try this another time. And they were pretty understanding even.
Yeah. And
so,
you know, to be fair, Alan plays on Overwatch and I hear him on voice chat all the time because I tease him because, like, I'll walk by the computer room and I hear him playing Overwatch and I'll go, Diva out of mech, Diva out of mech. You know, I'll make fun of him a little bit because that's what we do. But, you know, he voice chats all the time on there and he's fine. He's doing a good time or has having a good time with that. And, you know, I play a lot of Final Fantasy 14 and sometimes we have to help. You know, same thing will happen. Somebody dies. I, as a healer, get somebody killed because I was trying to DPS too much. I'm like, oh my God, that was my bad. Sorry about that. And other people are like, hey, no sweat, no worries. It happens. And like, it's cool when that happens in that game. It's like, okay, we're all decent human beings having a good time, you know, but you know, if somebody early on in my 14 experiences had been, fuck you, you fucking fuck, I probably wouldn't be playing that game anymore. So.
Yeah, most probably. It's good that people do play like, well, smart and and don't act like assholes most of the time. It's kind of awful that sometimes they do, but it's if you can enjoy the game like that, it's okay.
And Dark Tetsuya, I think on a good note here in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, at the end of the day, it's just a video game. Yes, it's just a fucking game. All right.
Indeed.
ActDeft, I'm going to let you go on that note, but thank you so much for the call.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No problem. Bye-bye. I think that is going to do it for Orange Lounge Radio tonight. We're going to go ahead and close up the Skype line, and I'm going to give a big thank you to everybody for listening to the show tonight. Really appreciate your support. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or five about the show. Help us spread the word here at Orange Lounge Radio, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here for us to hear. That's H-E-R-E and H-E-A-R. Next week, I will do heel and heel. But for now, that's going to do it for OLR. I'm going to go around and get everybody's final thoughts. Loki, we'll start with you. Your final thought tonight.
I'll try to play games this week.
All right. My final thought tonight is program something, damn it.
Try to. My eyes are on fire right now.
Well, you said somebody had to tell you that, so there you go.
Yeah, my brain has to tell me that. It has to tell the other part of my brain that decides to watch YouTube to do that.
All right, last but not least, Dark Soccer, your final thought.
If I'm not watching Lady Hawk in Honor of the Eclipse or Little Shop of Horrors, then I might stream tomorrow night.
Good times.
Why not?
Check us out on Twitch. You can always follow twitch.tv. What's their site?
DarkSakura_OLR.
Or VOG Network. And that'll host everybody. So you can, or just go to who VOG Network follows and follow everybody on that list.
Follow us all.
That's right. Because
the abyss.
Until we have an official network on Twitch, which I'm not going to hold my breath over, that's the best we got. So there you go. That's going to do it for another day here at Orange Lounge Radio. We will see you next time. We will be back in 7 days to do it all over again before we take a break for Dragon Con as we lead up to episode number 700. Gasp.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.